Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
Good morning, church. Please, a round of applause for our panelists. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to day five of Season of the Spirit Review. I hope that we came prepared. Hope we listen to the messages over again. Okay. Before we continue, I'd like to greet our mommies and our daddies. Good morning, Pastor Rose. Good morning, Pastor Laide. Good morning, Pastor Moses. Good morning, Pastor Sheg. Good morning, sir. Good morning, Momiola. Good morning to all our pastors, our HODs, our leaders. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, mommies. Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, Pastor Charles. Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody. Brapi, good morning, sir. Good morning, Brother Lapo. I hope that you are prepared for us this morning. Brapi, hope you are ready for us, sir. Okay, Brapi, is your mic not? I think your mic is there.
Sorry, I'm not seeing well. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God will help us. Amen.
Okay, sorry, Brother Lakpo. Good morning. Hope you are prepared for us. Okay. Brother Lakpo, what's happening? Why are you?
Fine.
Okay.
Pastor Lakpo is prepared for us.
Oh, the light is too bright for you.
It's fine.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Star Victoria.
Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Thank you for another opportunity to come and learn at your feet. Thank you for another opportunity to expand your word to us, to shine light upon your word, to breathe life upon your word, that it may have effects in us, that it may begin to change our hearts and convert us even from darkness to light totally. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this avenue to learn. We pray, Lord Jesus, for hearing ears, for seeing eyes, cause eyes to see, cause ears to hear, cause hearts to understand. And at the end of the day, we pray for grace to walk in the things that will be heard, that will be said today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Victoria, for that prayer. Okay, please, let's give our panelists a round of applause once again. I think this is Brother Lapo's second time here. So you are used to this. It's not... No, Brap, yeah. Brap, you've been on this podium like how many times?
It's a different ball game.
Okay, sir. All right, so day five of Season of the Spirit started with Daddy in the house, Pastor Olaide Olanio. He started with his own ministration and mostly was about following Jesus. The ministration was about following Jesus, the cost of following Jesus, and yeah, basically about that. And you know, while Pastor was ministering, it may sound very simple, like, oh, following Jesus, I'm following Jesus, I'm a believer, I do commandments, I speak in tongues, you know, I give, I come to church, I'm a worker. But, you know, when Pastor was preaching, there was something really stood out. That's the cost of following Jesus. Like, probably, maybe a lot of us don't really understand the cost. So maybe when certain things come our way, like Sunday school today, tribulations and all, it will be like, really, is this part of following Jesus? So, talking about the cost of following Jesus, Brapi, this is to you, sir. Can you mention, this is like a personal... So, can you mention, like, legit things that you had to lose in order to follow Jesus? Or for you, the cost, what it costs you, what it has costed you before, or what it is costing you at the moment to follow Jesus?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, my dear father and daddy, Pastor Laide. Good morning, my mama, my Rose mama. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning to our daddy in the house, Pastor Moses and Omokafi too. Good morning, Pastor Shegun. Good morning to my HOD, Ronnie Otunaike and every other person. Good morning to my pastor, Pastor Kilanko. Good morning, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. Then good morning to my lovely and beautiful wife. I can see her from here. Hallelujah. So she assured me that she has prayed for me. Don't worry, mommy is here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then I really want us to appreciate our host. Looking at the previous section, it's a labor to spool out question from ministration. If you look at some of the questions that we've had before today, and also I'm also using this as a medium to tell them that stuff better, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I want us to appreciate them because they went through the message over and over and over again for them to spool out the question. Can we do that very well? Can we do that very well? Hallelujah. Sincerely, I was praying that my father, Pastor Lightning, will not finish the teenager's till after this section. But hallelujah. So, my experience, of course, I don't know whether it is legitimate or not. I'll just share what I find in my heart. I think the question is,
the legit things that you have lost.
Okay.
As per following Jesus, like what it has costed you to follow Jesus.
All right. Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. So all things are passed away, all things have become new. So like our parents have emphasized, really, we don't have anything that we can say we have lost in the first place. So I wouldn't say we have lost anything because I don't have anything. You understand? So so the approach to the question is this. I've given this example about after our marriage, we're about to get a car, and we've saved some money. And don't worry, Brother Lapo is here. He has the revelation. So I'm just trying to cool myself from the tension. We saved some money to buy a car, and we've had our plans. And when Pastor had the discussion with us that we should take the former car. I've talked to my wife that let's call our people, in the diaspora, and we know what Nigerian cars, the kind of issue Nigerian car gives. So let's call them and let's see, what the cost of, car is. So we've made inquiry, and the same week that Pastor called, the person, that's my wife, elder sister, we made inquiry from, called my wife to say that, oh, there's someone that is coming into, is living in Nigeria and want to sell, the car at a very giveaway price. So my wife mentioned that to me. However, at that time, there's already an instruction on ground, which I've not told her, that we have a car. We have a car. So I was thinking, okay, maybe I should not tell her this. Let's just look for that. So they will now, somewhere we just maneuver around it and tell Pastor that, Pastor, before you mention this, we've paid for one car. So I struggled, but eventually I had to tell my wife, and I know my wife is one that has respect for spiritual authority. And immediately she heard that wasn't very good, because we all know what Pastor went through with that car. So we know. I stayed in the house. I know very well what Pastor went through with that car. We bought engine. The engine knocked. everything, you know. And and this is a brand new car that we don't really have all the resources, but it's a way we can maneuver our way to get the resources, you know. At that point, we had to tell her that, oh, someone has given us car. But the prayer is that she not even mention the kind of car. She should not ask her for the kind of car that they gave us. You know, a car that cannot start itself. You know. So a car that the gear is gone. You know. We had the savings, you know, and we spent all the savings on the car, actually. So, you know, just to raise the car, you know. We spent all the savings on the car, and yet the car do not behave like a car, you know. And I would say that season it wasn't easy at all. But one thing that during pastor ministration, he said, the cost is not greater than God's grace. Yeah, so we cannot talk about lust. We cannot talk about loss without putting the gain in it. So the gain here is the things we're going through at that time. You know, those are the gains. You know, like the scripture pastor read, Philippians 3:8, you know, Apostle Paul say, he count all things for the lost. He count all things lost to gain Christ. He now said, he count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. The first one, 7, says lost first, you know, all things that were gained. So, things that were gained, he count them to gain Christ, to gain Christ. Then now, all things again, you know, but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So it means that, you know, for us to get Christ, we must have losses. We must have losses. So, in those seasons were beautiful seasons, but for time's sake, because I know bro, Dolapo has a lot to share, I will just hand over to him.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for that experience, for sharing that experience with us. I'm sure that people still have questions regarding this, and I'll just encourage us now, we can start writing down our questions. So, Brother Lapo, over to you.
Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Mama. Good morning, everybody. Pastor Moses, good morning, sir. Our mommies, our daddies. Good morning.
I thought it was only two of them that were against me, but now Pastor Opie has joined them. So it's fine. So before I answer the question, I want to say something. I used to be at the back end of setting questions for Season of the Spirit. I said I used to be at the back end of setting questions for Season of the Spirit review. And when I saw these questions, I'm like, Jesus Christ, Pastor Niyu, did you? You know, I was thinking it was going to be precepts and, you know, sharp. But this time we should be talking about experiences that I don't have, you know, but it is well. Okay. So, yes. So, things we count for. Let me just talk about the scripture, Pastor Happy. Let me flow from where he started from. So he said, Paul said that, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. So there is the gain that you have to count as loss for Christ. Then in verse 8, he now said, yea, doubtless, I count all things. So there's the losing of gain, things that are profitable to you. Then there's now the losing of all things, which we would count again, loss, not just for Christ now, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So there's a more excellent knowledge of Christ. So the Christ would demand gain, but the more excellent knowledge of Christ would demand the loss of all things, both gain and every single thing. You know, Pastor was talking about his own experiences. You know, he was like, even the things Lord has given you, he was talking about even his wife, you know, things that Lord has given you as your own, you know, that book in Ecclesiastes, your own wife that God has given you, that even your wife, even your money, your labor, everything that the Lord has given you for your own, you have to even count them as lost. Why? Because you are looking for a more excellent knowledge, you know. So now to talk about my own experiences. Okay, so I've seen some little bits in this path myself, you know, under our pastors, you know. Yes, I've lost a lot of things. When I first started hearing this light in 2015, you know, started following meetings, gadites, you know. From year one first semester, I was a worker in 2 fellowships. Then year one second semester, I now joined gadite workforce. So that was 3 fellowships. I was studying engineering. So, so I started with a almost 5.0, very high GP, you know, and but because there was, I won't say there was no grace for it. I was just not wise enough. It was my fault, you know. So yes, as expected, you know, my GP came down after that second semester because our meetings were not small. You understand? We used to have meet. There was a time in school every single day I had meeting. Every single day. Some days I would have 2 meetings because unit meetings, rehearsals, every single day like that. So there was just not enough wisdom. There was just, I know that there was a provision of grace for it. I didn't do bad in school though. I'm sorry. I did well in school, at least, you know. You know, I just didn't finish with the exact grade I started with, you know, but I did very well in school. Don't get it wrong. And I know somewhere too that the Lord was also subjective in that area. So it's not my, you know, I'm trying to say that, you know, the Lord is going to take, first of all, your time. The Lord is going to take your time. The Lord is going to take your patience. He's going to drag your mind, you know, because like they are removing something from your mind and they're trying to bring something else inside. You know, so that old mind has to be stretched so much. And I think that for me is even more excruciating than taking my money, taking my, you understand? Because that one is your own personal soul. The Lord sitting you down and removing wrong thinking. Just imagine sitting down for WTV 8 hours, 7 hours straight. You know, we're just sitting down. A lot is happening. You're dying to the wedding you wanted to go to. You're dying to, you know, so many things at that point. You don't know, you know, but you're just enjoying the word and something is happening to you. So yes, you know, I didn't finish with the top grade I was looking for, you know. I lost a lot of friends, you know. A lot of people now, if I see you outside, just hey. Why? Because things have changed, you know. I have my company now. If you don't, you may even count me very weird if you don't understand what things I'm talking about. So I just, in my office on Friday, when I was, somebody said, because I wore this jacket, said, why are you always dressing like a pastor? I said, I'm not dressing like a pastor. I'm just, there's AC. I like covering myself. He said, I don't see you. You and this guy, that everything you people post, everything you talk about is church. Then you go for church wedding. From church wedding, you come to the office, that there's no extracurricular. And I have my extracurricular activities. I try. I watch football. I watch sports. I do some things. But they are just expecting. They are just expecting that, young guy. But so those expectations, you have to die to them too. You know, those hopes, those idols. You know, we have to die to everything because God, if you are looking for Christ, you die to the gain. Or if you're looking for the more excellent knowledge, you know, all things will be demanded. And, you know, let me just stop there for now.
Amen. Praise God. So basically, the summary of it is Christ will cost you everything. Cost you your time. Cost you your sleep. Cost you your ambition. Cost you your dreams, your friends. Sometimes it might cost you your relationship with your family. It will cost you a lot. So the Lord will help us to follow, even in the midst of all these costs, in Jesus' name. You know, one other thing that Pastor mentioned that day, I was really intrigued when he said it. He said that one of the things that, you know, following God would cost you is that you'll be called names. Like, people will legit call you a fool. I don't know, how many people have they called you, like, what they are. You are you don't have sense. One of my sisters was telling me that her other sister was telling her that you are very mad. In fact, you are not just mad, you are very mad. You know, so one of the things that to cause you to follow God is to be called a fool. People don't understand what you are doing. You know, so and Pastor said that the reason is that they have to dull you. They have to dull your mind, you know, in so that you can be trained to, you know, think the way God thinks. So, and he said one of the ways that they dull your mind is by, everybody say wait. Say wait. When, how many of us have waited before? Waited indirectly. Thank God, Brother Akpo. So please, I know that, I don't know, but me, I've been waiting. I've waited before. So share your experience in waiting. Wow. And, you know, have you ever been in a period where you've waited? It can be directly, maybe the Lord is, you are praying to the Lord about something and the Lord is not answering you. Or maybe you go and meet pastor. And pastor just did like this. Pastor just oh yeah, wait. You know, so any form of waiting that you have experienced, can you share how you were able to go through those phases so that we can be encouraged to even journey alike, and how you're able to overcome in those seasons? What was built in you? What was wrought in you during those periods? And how did you see yourself become better even after those periods?
Praise God. Okay, so I'm going to talk about two experiences. If you pardon me, I'll try and be very fast. So the first one was after secondary school. After secondary school, I finished school in 2013. And, you know, I didn't enter university till 2015. So I was home, you know, working at the farm with my mom every single day. You know, I had very good grades. I had A's in my work, you know, but I just didn't enter school, you know. Then I wanted to travel. It did not work out last minute. Then, okay, we said we should do this. This one didn't work. The following year, we chose one school in Delta State. Worry, I don't know where we're looking for, mommy. We went all the way to Worry. We went to write. Post jam. I did so well in this exam. They now say there was an error in their marking, blah, 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 blah. I had no shine that 2 years. I wrote jam. It was the third jam I wrote that I got into school. You know, and many of the guys that I used to teach, many of the guys that were my boys, you know, I had one of the best results. You know, many of them were already in school. Some had traveled, you know, and I was just there, you know, working on the farm. Everything. You know, at least it's not showing now. I mean, I don't look like a farmer now. Thank God. The message is working. So, you know, yes, so I had to go through that period. I remember those times I would fast. RCCG did 30 days fast. I fasted everything. 100 days fast. 40 days fast. I fasted everything. Why? I was looking for admission. You know, I went to tutorial center. One Paco tutorial center. Why? Because I was looking for admission. I was ready to pay any price, you know. But that period was a period of reevaluating my friends, my company, reevaluating what I live by, what am I looking for. Okay, then there was no light, of course, you know, but what exactly is going on in my life? Like, you know, and I didn't know what God was preparing for me. You know, I didn't know that it was very important that I went to UNILAG. If I didn't go to UNILAG, I'll be dead somewhere by now, physically. You know, God was just waiting and waiting. And he didn't just want me to get into UNILAG anyhow. He wanted me to get into, such that when I got that admission, I said, God, I will serve you. So I went to join workforce in 3 fellowships. You know, I said, God, I will serve you. You know, I was that, you know, determined to, I'm not saying your zeal is good. I'm not saying your zeal is bad. But I'm saying that waiting for that, you know, recalibrated my gaze on what exactly I'm going to look for in school. You know, what exactly life is about. You know, so yes, it was tough. It was very tough. It's going to be very tough because you are going to watch opportunities slip by. You are going to watch them slip by. You know, I wanted to go and study. What was it? Was it architecture? In DC, USA, I just watched that thing slip by like this. I didn't go. You know, many opportunities like that will just slip by while you wait. But now I can beat my chest anywhere and say I'm better off. You know, I can beat my chest before the throne of God, even in the pit of hell, and tell both of them, God and devil, that I'm better off, that I waited and went through that waiting process. The second one I'm going to share, waiting. When pastors tell us to wait, I want you to believe. I want you to believe that is Jesus that is speaking to you. You've prayed about it, though. Nobody's saying you've not prayed about it. You've, in quotes, been led. Nobody's saying you've not been led. But when an authority who is laboring over you in the place of doctrine, first of all, you know, also prayer is telling you to wait, please fasten your seatbelt. You know, you are going to wait, and it is good, because what that person is saying is not seeing your natural prosperity. He's not seeing the things you think you are looking for. He's seeing how God wants to save your soul. And even in that soul salvation, that natural prosperity you are looking for is actually there. But we don't see, you know. So this was about 2 years ago. I wanted to travel to do my master's. And to Pastor Lideo. You know now. We know our pastor. Praise God. You know. And It was okay. I wanted to go and do a 5-year PhD before, like this, you know, because I like books small, very small. So, Pastor, and that one, I saw that this is going to take so long, it's going to take so much of my time, can easily get frustrated. Okay, let me just do a 1 year, just 1 year master's. I'll go and I'll come back. No. Pastor, I will just go. You will not even know. We have brethren in the UK, you know, everything will be fine. Let's wait for grace to work it out. Those were his exact words. The first time I spoke to him about it, and let's wait for grace. Okay. So then the following week was now my birthday. Pastor called me out here. He prayed for me. Hey, the prayers pastor was praying, I could not put my mouth and say amen. I was just because I knew that, oh no, I'm in trouble, you know. And I know that it was tough. It was tough because it was against a lot of things I felt the Lord had been telling me. I have some personal witnesses still now that I feel, okay, I think the Lord may be leading me in this direction, which is not bad. Have your witnesses, you know. But the thing is, sorry if I'm saying so much. Authority is not supposed to take away your witnesses from you. They are just supposed to help you watch it, confirm it. Also, is it the right time for it? They are not, in fact, any pastor that tells you that, you tell Pastor, I feel God is done. Pastor outrightly looks you in the eye and says, God is not leading you in this direction. It's either one, Pastor is extremely sure, which is very rare, because our pastors are people that are following the same Holy Ghost too. They are not God. I don't mean it in that sense. You understand? Two, or it's either that pastor is a false pastor. So they always want, because you have the Holy Ghost in you. You are the one that is being led. Pastor is just checking, confirming. You understand? Back and forth. And so at the end of the day, let me cut it short. And as we all know, we've been in this church together now. I'd not go anywhere now. If I reach, you know, you know. So I'd not go anywhere, you know. He said, let's wait for grace to work it out. Okay. Then the prayer skill. After Pastor prayed for me, I already knew that this matter, there's nothing to talk about again, you know. We let that one go. Then, you know, a lot after, I just saw how, now it seems grace is working out some things. Also after then, I've now spoken with Pastor about some other issues, and I've seen Pastor take almost immediate action about some things. And I'm like, Pastor, when I was telling you this, and I was expecting another, you know. So it's not that Pastor like wants to just slow you down, or he wants to, no, he's watching something. There are checkpoints you must hit in the spirit before another allocation, even in the natural, opens. There are checkpoints you have to hit, you understand? And it takes an oversight to actually see your soul, see your path, and be able to check if you are there yet. Let's wait. So I want us to, in our hearts, repent and realign under our pastors. Pastor Lide, Pastor Rose, Pastor Moses, they love us and they have the best. Even your naturally, Pastor wants you to work in a good place and get paid well, because you are even a bigger threat to Satan when you have power over what, a 10 million naira salary. You know, compared to a 100,000 naira salary, because Satan will even be more angry with you. You know, he'll even be more ashamed of his works, that this soul was able to, even with all this, you know, still hate my world. So, Pastor wants the best for every one of us, all our pastors. God has not given us pastors that are not after his own heart. So, I want us to, I'm also repenting again too. Pastor, if I've been making things difficult, I'm sorry, Pastor. Give me, sir. I think I've tried.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. So my experience, while I was courting my wife. Now, the first time my wife introduced me to her dad, I wasn't working. So I was a raw guy. So I wasn't doing any work in the natural, you know. I wasn't doing any work in the natural. But when I mean work in the natural, I believe God's servant has taught us before that job is meant from work. A job is a secular work that you do. But a work, you know, like, you know, was it Apostle Paul that said that he that does not work should not what? Not he that does not have a job, but he that does not what? Work. So you won't see job in the Bible. What you see is Job. You understand? So you won't see job in the Bible. So I wasn't working in the natural. So the first time I met my father-in-law now, he was so excited to receive me, but mommy was not at home. You know, the excitement was just that, you know, they've been asking my wife, you know, to at least bring somebody home. You understand? You know, you're of age, at least. So the joy was just like, she brought somebody. You understand? So it's not as if it's a total joy. It was just a joy that she brought somebody home. And she brought me home with someone that can drive, Mr. Kilanko. So we went together. So at least, if they ask for their daughter, they can't. If they can't see their daughter and they're asking, they know who to meet. So when we got home, Daddy just told me that, he was asking me what I was doing. I told him, I'm just writing my professional exam. Though my wife has prepared the ground, so it was a soft landing. So writing my exam, everything. So excited, you know, but he called mommy. So mommy said, okay, he needs to visit again, you know. So for this one, I think it was my wife, yes, that called me then that, daddy, excitement has dropped because mommy was not at home, you understand. So she requested for a visit. So then I went alone, you know. I went alone. The first visit was in the parlor, so... the second visit was in my wife's room there. You know, one of the things my father-in-law mentioned is that the wine we brought that day, he didn't drink it. So that wine is still in his room. So you can give it back to me. So the wine is still in the room. Because somewhere I was wondering, where was the excitement? This man was happy, did us very well, and the likes. So my wife now told me that her elder sister, the wine the husband brought then, that was in daddy's room, till when they got married. That was when grandpa took that wine and drank it. So to tell you how serious the matter is. So getting there, seeing mommy, of course, mommy said, I'm just did like this. With all my waiting for my... wives, for my daughter to bring husband, that she has a great expectation for this girl. So that what she was thinking is that she will bring somebody that is well to do to my face. So it's not, you know, there's no two way about it. So their expectation is that you bring somebody you marry within 3 months. So there's no two way about it. So my daughter is very fine. But she only born she professional exam. Ben, because you want she near one. So after the day didn't go well, she just told me that, okay, yes, I'm going to go to my. I left there. In fact, if I had gone with someone, at least I would have comfort. No comfort. I went home. No comfort at all. So, after that time, the elder sister now called that, she called my wife that there's an opportunity in Canada. She wanted to come over and the likes. So, my wife, I didn't know that my wife has been having that struggle with them for some time. So, after that time, my wife mentioned to me later on what she has been, the kind of battle she's been facing, because she was thinking that it would be very easy for her, right? So, the other sister requested for my number and called me. You know, she called me the first time we had a conversation of one. She was like, Ayoba Oni, Oni kwe wolun tele in kakiri. It's okay. I said, so I was just listening to her. So what she wanted me to do is this. Everybody has spoken to her. She's saying God is not leading her to Canada. So, and they feel that this is the only man they know with this girl. And they know that with this man, because up to, even after that scenario, she had a lot of battle at home concerning me and the likes. Daddy insisted that they would get somebody from their church, give her husband. If it's that one, just get somebody from their hand, espouse it to somebody. You know, she's fighting all of those battles. And she just called, you know, I said, okay, mo, then issue, you know. But what me I'm just saying is this, you know, I've been trying to talk to her to come to Canada. This is the plan. If she comes to Canada, she just needs to come and do further education within 1 year. I think she's well to do. She'll come back to pick you, you know. As a... So it was just a wisdom that she's trying to play around. So I told her that, me, I don't have issue with it. Somebody that you're not even giving wife, I said, we've prayed about it. We've prayed about it, and God is not leading her. And I said, what do you mean by God? She was saying, along really. I said, what do I mean by God? And she now said, she wasted her time, her youthful age, in Nigeria. That if she had known it, she would have traveled to Canada a long time ago. Because what she's making now is not what she's supposed to have. You understand? So she wanted her to make it early. You understand? So after she made all of those, I kept on, the conversation was for over 1 hour. I kept on insisting that that's what she has mentioned and that's what I feel is right too. So at the end, she was telling me, okay, along, Shani, I just power no send long, I say long. But tolong what done you long? Emma we wamo. I said, wow, interesting. So my father now called me. Now, this battle was with her, but they knew I was at the center of the battle. He called me to come home. I came home. The first thing he was saying, now, why am I saying this? Because Sister Victoria was talking about waiting. Hallelujah. Now, why am I saying this? He called me to come home, and when I get home, the first thing he started with, he said, there are some boys on their street that used to play around. You see those boys on the street. He's trying to play a parable around my life. He said, that's my father-in-law. He said, there are some boys on the street. Those boys have been playing around on the street for long. We don't even know what will become of their life. So, they don't have job. They don't do anything. Well, lost it, and worry, I don't need kitty. So, he's also telling me that that's the way he's seeing me. So, and he's saying that, over, along the streets, hello. So the pressure now is this. Guy, you need to get a work. You need to get a job, sorry. Guy, you need to get a job. And the time to get a job has not come. You have to wait. So you need to prove to them that it's not as if you can, you don't have a certificate to work. You have it. And you're even doing your professional exam. You understand? So it's not as if, you know, you can't, I can't. So then some opportunities too were coming. You know, ICS outsourcing, Access Bank. You know, my wife was so happy that at least I'm going for interview those time. But nobody got back to us. I was going for interview. Nobody got back to us. My wife even said, even if it's 30,000 job. Because they just, what they want is this, you know, they don't want you with this person. So at least we can still use that job to push a little. That he has something. So, you know, get to one point, my mother-in-law was even tired of the whole process. She now called me to her shop and told me that there's this our friend, you know, that is working in the ministry, that she has spoken to her. She said I should come, that she's going to get a job for me. I check my pastor. Nothing. God is not telling me to do that. How do I present this to this woman? And my wife was working. She's anywhere. So, I just told Bobby that, Mommy, along with her she, Mommy, along with her she, I went to her shop. I went to her shop that day. But I told her that she should not worry. God will do it. That's what she's looking for. She will see it. I said, God will do it. Mommy was not happy with me. But the fact that her daughter saw has been tied to me, she had to manage to give me food that day. So I went home. I saw her countenance. She was not happy. She was like the venter to her. I feel that she was like the venter one chance like this. Because my wife-to-be saw me off and I went home. Then there's this opportunity in one of our sisters, Sister Dita's office. I went for the interview twice. I got the job. But now, don't forget, we're looking for like 30,000 naira job. And then they want to pay 60,000. And the job is at Ikoyi. They share the offer with me. But I will have to resume 7 a.m. Close. There's a compensation, I think close 3 p.m. But so the issue now is this. There's no brother in the house. I know that somewhere, if I take that job, first, my soul will go for that job. Because I will have to wake up very early to leave the house. And secondly, I was the only one taking care of her seed. There's no brother in the house. So I thought about it. I told my wife to be there. My wife said, oh, maybe we'll just take this one. At least we'll just tell. But on the second thought, I share with Pastor Larry. But I know that Pastor will not tell me the truth in that matter. Why? I know that he will not tell me the truth because he will look as if he wants to tie me down to keep taking care of, you know, Elseed in the house. So I was just saying, go and pray about it. Anything the Lord says, can tell me about it. But when I called my wife back, my wife said, don't take the job. I was surprised. She said, don't take the job. I said, you said I should take it before. You said, take this job before. You said, don't take it again. She's the only, like, that's my only hope. You understand, at this particular point in time, she said, don't take it. I went to pastor and said, I won't be taking the job. In fact, I started that record. They are waiting for me to start the job. I said, I don't want the job again. You know, and it's not as if I have option. You know, I just continue reading my book, keep doing what the Lord will have me do. You know, to not worsen the situation, I attend meeting for pastor in the compound. You know, one day when the meeting, I've never told Pastor Mama before. I was in the meeting in the morning. You know, someone in the compound, that's where I'm now staying now. You know, he was telling me that, you know, we had that meeting and discussion was just around how the compound is always dirty and the lies. What am I saying here? My experience in all of this is that God has killed many shames. The truth is God has, you know, one thing about the gospel is this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So if Apostle Paul saying he's not going to be ashamed, the gospel of Christ is full of shame. That's why I'm saying this. Because the shame around the gospel of Christ is a pattern that the world is not used to. So Jesus Christ says, my kingdom is not the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world is for you to make it early. What this world is looking for is for you to have it early. It's for you to give all it takes. It's not about you just jumping into something. You understand what I'm saying? So now the guy, you know, mentioned something funny. We discussed, we've had it. Okay, how do we resolve this issue? The guy said, one of the things I used to, you know, get him angry is that at least everybody that is here, they are going to work. But happy is always in this. I'm like, am I the cleaner of the compound? That thing, it didn't really mean anything to me, right? Not because I've attained, but somewhere I just feel the Lord. Grace just took that thing off my. It didn't really mean anything to me at that particular point. It didn't really mean anything to me, you know. But again, Satan will bring it. You don't hear what this guy said. But the beautiful thing now is this. I'm staying in his flat. That flat, they drove him out of that flat where I'm staying now. And now, he's, sir, if you want to ask for community money, hello, sir, please, I will not see your money, all of those things. That's not the reward. You understand? That's not the reward. What I'm just saying is that also, you know, like scripture says that no matter what you lose, you will get it back hundredfold in this present world and in the world to come. Because I know one of the ways Satan will lie to us is that, you know, they are just saying suffering.
Jesus. Habara bara bara bariana mana makaro go 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 and defile even the rudiments and principles of this world. Oh, grow. It's a call to grow. Grow above the things that seems to weigh you down. Grow above the things that seems to be a shame even to you. Grow above it. I want your eyes to be lifted up. I begin to look unto me. I begin to look for me. To desire me, oh, for the things that you are crying for, the things that you are weeping for, the things that are pinned to your heart now, the things that are causing you great cries, even in times and times. Oh, I tell you to grow above those things, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. For I have good thoughts concerning you. For I have said that I will give you a future, and I will give you even an expected hand. You don't know your hand. You don't know where you ought to be. You don't know that place that I want to take you to. Oh, so why don't you just hold my hands and follow me through the process? Hold my hands and follow me through the process. For I know you ito tito. I know you in and out. I know you before you were even born. I know where I want to take you to. Oh, for the thoughts I think towards you, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, even to give you an expected hand. Oh, I'm saying yeah to one, two, three, four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Many are crying. Many are crying even in secret places. Why is my life turning this way? Why is my own different? Why is it looking like I'm not making progress? Why is it looking like I'm not even matching up with my age mates? Why is it looking like this? Why come to tell you that I'm with you. I have good thoughts concerning you. I want to lead you. I want to take you even to the place where I want to bring you to. Don't think. Don't let your head even fathom where you want to be. Don't think about it. Just press on. Just grow above those things that seem to hinder you. Grow above it. For I would come when you are not even expecting it. Hear the Spirit.
Hallelujah. So let me round up. So all those seasons passed, the Lord provided a job by God's grace. But those who by a patient continuous in well doing. So you can be patient, but you need to do patient well. Seek for. So the way we seek is not just to be patient. We also need to do it well. We need to do patience well. Now, you know, let me just round up this way because my mother-in-law, you know, when we gave birth to our daughter, mother-in-law came to the house. She came to the house. She was just observing, doing things. One day she called. She said, Mutife best, all right. I said, well, mommy, what is it? We spoke and she said, what's your close more to one? It's okay. that there's something she noticed about us. That people are serving. These people, though they have the money, I want people to please draw them close. I want people to please draw them close. You know, of recent she traveled and she called my wife. She was more or less like crying on phone. She went to see her other sister. Not like crying on phone. My wife was like, what's happening? She said, what she's seeing here every day, that there's no peace in this home. There's no peace in this home. And the major issue is coming from her daughter. And she talked to the daughter that, why are you treating your husband like this? And, you know, daughter will be saying that. And she'll be comparing her. She'll be comparing her. She'll not say that. She not said that. That's my wife, and I told mommy that. Yinka lowo ni. Toba lowo ko ni ma baran of okunrin. Eko lowo ni. Oh. Yinka lowo ni. So grandma was, she was just perturbed. She was like, for her and I know to even go back. She, you know that place that you people are designed to go. She has seen something that to go back now is very difficult. So what am I saying? I just feel in my heart that I want to appreciate my wife again. That's all.
Say, you people help me pray too that God should give me the wife that can see. Because in the natural, nothing is. Please pray for us. So, I mean, my brothers, God should give us that type of wife. I mean, talk now.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much for that, Barapi. Thank you so much. I'm sure we're all blessed. Everybody, whether you are single or you are, we're all blessed. And there's really nothing to say, actually. Like, the ministration has happened. We just thank God that we have people that actually go through, they allow themselves to go through situations like this so they can actually be source of comfort to be coming behind. That when we find ourselves in situations like that, we know that, okay, yes, somebody has gone through something like this. It is not, I'm not the first person. And I'm not going to die. It's not the end of the world for me. It is God that is leading me and is doing it to bring out something in me. Because anybody who sees Barapi now, would you believe that he actually was someone before that? Maybe he didn't have a job. Maybe you won't really believe it like that. You won't even believe that he went through all that with his in-laws. Because even with the way he relates with them and everything, you feel like, oh, they've probably loved him from the start like that and all. So let's just take the learnings, the instructions, the commandments that we can from this testimony. Okay, please, a round of applause once again. Okay, so because of time constraints, we need to move fast, not so fast that we will not have time to allow the Holy Spirit lead us, but we need to also move fast. Okay, so we are moving on to Pastor Tokwe's ministration. Pastor Tokwe's ministration was very brief, yet it was very, there was depth in it. So I remember that day he came up, and even though I was not in the auditorium, I was in the teenager's auditorium, but there was just something that administration brought, the atmosphere. It was like he came to usher in Reverend's ministration. And the atmosphere was very thick with this reverence. And I just could literally feel, it was very tangible for me. I could really hold it. The reverence and the way, you could really feel that he wasn't saying what he was saying because he wanted to say it. Because maybe, you know, normally when our ministers come up, they greet reverend, they greet our pastors and everybody. But, and that's to show that what they do is not just because everybody is doing it. We have to follow suit or something. There is something about it. And then he ministered that reverence when he came up within the short period that he ministered. So, Brother Lapo, I don't know if you also, like, you that atmosphere was tangible to you. Like, or when he came up, what did you, Like, what was the thing that you sensed, you felt during the ministration?
Okay, praise God. When Pastor Tope was ministering, Pastor first started by saying that, he could have taught a lot of things around the subject. You know, he said he could have taught about it, but there was a need in the spirit to and I know also that as much as our pastors are ministering to us, they're also addressing spirits in the atmosphere. You know, they're also judging things. Let me share this. I was streaming a meeting once, and Reverend was ministering. It was grand finale, and somebody was giving a prophecy, and Reverend sensed that spirit. In sense that spirit that was actually saying those things was wrong. If you were streaming, if you were not so, you would feel it's normal. No, Reverend had to stop the guy. Said, carry that guy outside. Stop. Carry that guy outside. And he addressed the whole thing. So our parents are more, in fact, they are more keen about settling things in the spirit, because we know that it is spirit that actually charges for men. So Pastor Tope, he was actually setting that tone, that our daddy Reverend is Jesus' sent one to us as a generation. And we have to, to come into that place of honor, of reverence, and of discernment. Because, imagine if the Corinthian church did not discern Paul when he wrote them the first letter. Look at where they were in 1 Corinthians. Look at where they were in 2 Corinthians. Imagine if they did not discern that first letter that Paul sent to him. You understand? So the more we discern, the better we discern the workings of Jesus on a minister, the easier it is for them to bless us, for us to be blessed by them, by their ministrations, by their lives, by their words, by their teachings. So Pastor Tope was just rebuking that spirit that wants to raise generation of many apostles. If you go on, don't go on YouTube. If you go on YouTube, you'll just be seeing different kinds of apostles. Apostle, anything you can think of is on YouTube right now. You understand? And at the end of the day, there are just so many. The same way Satan bastardized the office of a pastor. I was somewhere yesterday, and someone was sharing how Kenneth Hagin didn't want to be called, he didn't want to be called a prophet. Why? Because in that generation, Satan had done so many things and messed with the prophetic so much, and Jesus had to appear to Hagin. In fact, Hagin had an injury on his shoulder or something like that, and Jesus said, that injury is going to be a sign for you that you don't disobey me. I'm the one that said you are a prophet. You understand? So it is evident that our daddy is not an apostle, because he doesn't even call himself an apostle. It is just what he is. You understand? It is what is the commission that Jesus has given unto him. And the work of the apostolic is to break grounds in the territory, is to chart courses, for other members, even of the fivefold and of the church of God, to actually follow. So the apostles are the ones that establish. We know about the apostles' doctrine. We know about how Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Apostles are the ones that will actually chart out the course, and that's the commission Jesus gave them, not because they are special or anything, and we have to descend the grace upon our daddy, Reverend Kayode Oyegoke, again, for us as a generation, that this is the person Jesus has sent to us, and we will not go far. In fact, any of us now, if God forbid, anybody that leaves the faith right now, where you will end, it will just be too bad. I've seen a few, it will be too bad. Why? Because you've come into so much knowledge already. You are easy prey for Satan. In fact, you are a potential antichrist as far as I'm concerned, because easy prey for Satan. So we should come into discernment of daddies. Don't let Satan lie to you about, Pastor Tope, let me just quickly say this. Pastor Tope gave illustrations of how he once left, how he, said some things wrongly, and the Lord told him that if you don't repent, you're going to die, and he started running around, came back to Reverend, apologized, ran back to the other ministers. He spoke, wrongly about and apologized, and he was just under. He was just trembling. And, daddy loved him. Daddy welcomed him back and things like that, because he knew that this is the person of Jesus like speaking to me right now. And if I should err and offend this person, I'm gone. So let's all trust God to repent again,
to discern our parents, especially Reverend Kayode Ogoke, Mommy Helen Ogoke, you know, as the sent ones of Jesus, you know, to us. And we should, with fear, you know, with fear, with trembling, with a lot of honor, you know, all our dealings with and around them, in our hearts, first of all, then also outwardly. So that's just...
Thank you, Odolapo. So that particular day when Pastor Tope came up, it was a very, you know, thick atmosphere, and the atmosphere was, you know, full of repentance for many of us. I would advise us to listen again, not just even to hear, but to tap into that atmosphere as well, so that we can constantly remind ourselves of how we ought to reverence our parents in the Lord and our pastors that the Lord has placed over. So Pastor Kwai really tried to emphasize on how we need to place reverence on servants of God so that we can be able to receive from them. You know, he talked about, you know, he also mentioned, you know, how that somehow he has had a level of proximity with, you know, our daddy, Reverend Kayode Ogoke, and, you know, some things that have stemmed from there. You know, Brother Apple mentioned how he was offended and left and all of that. You know, so it's very easy for us to discard or to disregard them. And he made a statement that was very paramount, that you cannot receive from a grace that you do not reverence or that you do not place premium on. You know, so Pastor Happy, please, I would like you to tell us, you know, from a place of experience, because somewhere there's a level of experience you have with our daddy, Pastor Laide. So from that place, can you like educate us on how that we need to place premium? Because it's very easy to despise our pastors. Honestly, it's very easy. Somewhere where we feel like we reverence them, we see them, we kneel down, we want to carry their bags, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to be in their faces, all of that. Greet them, good morning, sir, post them on our status, right to the whole world. But somewhere, you know, the Lord sees our hearts and he knows the contents of our hearts, that you do not place premium on this pastor. You know, so I want you to help us to see ways that we can, you know, if there are practical steps that we need to do to for us to be able to receive, because we want to receive from the graces that stem from our pastors. And this thing is a hierarchy, you know, flowing from our daddy, Reverend Kayode, down to Pastor Emeka, down even to our level, to Pastor Laide, flowing to all our other pastors, our HODs, they're flowing down to us. You know, so I want you to let us and just enlighten us on how we can place premium on them in our hearts, not just doing eye service, not just doing practical things, but in our hearts, how we can place premium on them so that we can receive from their grace.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. I think you mentioned two things. Proximity. Okay. All right. So how can we place premium on our pastor? Now, Bible said, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. So it's more or less like, he that receive a prophet in the name of a child will receive a child reward. Or let's say, he that receive a prophet in the name of a brother will receive a brother reward. So can we check 42? 40. Verse 40. He that receive you, receive what? Me. He that receive me, receive him that what? Sent me. So verse 41. He that receive a prophet. So it's not just receiving it. How did we receive the prophet? In the name of a prophet. So it means that I can be so familiar with Pastor Shegu now, because Pastor Shegu play with me in the house. We are always together. That does not mean that Pastor Shegu is not Pastor Shegu. That does not mean that I will not call him Pastor Shegu. But how do I receive him in the house? You understand? So the way I receive him is the way, you know, it will determine on the kind of reward I will get from him. Hallelujah. So if I receive him as a father, you know, I will receive a father reward from him. You know, if I receive him as a pastor, I will receive a pastor reward from him. You know, for some of us, you know, our pastors, our parents in the house, they are just like, how do I say it? A shopping center. Yeah. We just come whenever there's issue, we show up, we go. You know, at times, when you go to ShopRite, you know, at times you just look at the things. I wanted to buy Sandy before, but this Sandy self is not okay. So that's the same way we come to our parents. You know, at times we'll come to our pastor in the house. You know what you want to do already. You just want to hear what our parents in the house will say concerning. I say, okay. This one the pastor said is okay. It's okay. No problem. I'll pick one out of it. Hallelujah. So the way we receive them, we determine the kind of reward we will receive what from them. Hallelujah. Now, Philippians. Let's check. I think that should be Philippians. Well, Apostle Paul was giving the testimony of the Philippian church. That should be Philippians chapter 4, I think. Philippians 4, yes. 15 to 19. Philippians 4, 15 to 19. Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and what? But ye what? Only. Don't forget, no church. No church. That's why he could send his choice son to this kind of church. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit that may what? Abound to your account. So now, he desire fruit. Now, our parents in the house, you know, in fact, for some of them, leave them, they want to do their things themselves. But, you know, fruit will not abound to our account if we allow them to do things by themselves. So he said, not because I desire a gift, Apostle Paul does not want it, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. So he's telling the Philippian church how they receive in verse 18 now. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Verse 19. Can you now see? You know, many of us want God to supply all our need without communicating to our prophet. Without communicating to, he said, but my God. This is more or less like Apostle Paul using his soul to bless the Philippian church. We cannot touch the soul of our parents if we don't know how to communicate to them. But my God. He didn't say God. He said my own God. You mean the way God has blessed me. The kind of deposit God has put in my soul. He will give to you. My God shall supply all your need according to what? To his riches in glory by what? By Christ Jesus. So this church, he said, no church communicate except from the Philippian church. But the Philippian church, when Apostle Paul goes to minister in another place, they send gift to Philippian church. Hallelujah. They send gift to him. Even he said at Thessalonica, they have to send the Epaphroditus. Please give this to Apostle Paul. He said, no church, but what his joy is not that they were giving him things. His joy is that fruit is abounding to the account. They are bearing fruit of what they are hearing. That's his joy. You know, there are times that some of us feel that, you know, want to see our pastor. You know, I think I've given this example here before, but I'll give it again. You know, there was one time in the one brother then, after Wednesday prayer meeting, then pastor was still working. You know, we had not come for Wednesday prayer meeting. I just came, said, I want to go and see pastor in the house. He came with his load. I just want to go and see pastor, you know, in the house. I said, fine, no problem. After Wednesday prayer meeting, we took him to the house. The following morning, pastor came late from work. The following morning, I just go and pack all pastor's clothes in the basket that needs to be ironed. You came to see pastor. This is pastor clothes. Go and iron them. Hallelujah. Because many a time we just feel that when we see our pastor, they open revelation. Pastor has never opened Bible to me personally before. Right? But pastor can discuss something very, you know, intimate with me. Why? What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. You know, like she said, anything we don't place premium on. How do we place premium on the thing? You know, at times our parent comes around, they come to minister, you know, how to know that you place premium on the thing is that, do we, aside from the normal offering, You know, there are some of our parents and mom years that they will even give, even if it's 500 they have, they will put it in the envelope. You know, just put it part of what the minister is going. It means that you place premium on what that minister has brought for us. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, like they were teaching us during teenagers, said, if only I can touch the hem of, it was a heart desire. That's how you place premium, is that I can, you know, something is touching me. How do I receive, you know, my pastor in this place? You know, at times we come to the house, we come to see pastor, you know, before we'll be able to see pastor, maybe it's like 1 hour or 2 hours. Brethren in the house, serve you water, serve you drink. You leave it there. Then you should come and pack it and go and wash it for you. You're a visitor. You are not a visitor. Go to the kitchen. You came to see Pastor Larry, you came to see Pastor Rose, you came to Pastor Chef. Go to the kitchen. There are plates in the kitchen when you are passing through. Yes, that is how to see them. You see them, you are coming, there are plates. In fact, some of us, the way we even look at bread in the house, like, one day, you have your own house too. We look at bread in the house as prisoners. Like people that are just there to, bread in without we serve, you know, okay, put the table very well. You are sitting comfortably. The brethren are serving you. I say, but what I'm just here is just to come and receive from pastor. I dare you, if you don't receive any, pastor don't even come out and you do that, you have received the prophet reward. You have received the prophet reward. Because what you use to receive prophet reward is not by plenty revelation. It's not by plenty revelation. The woman with the issue of what Jesus do not even know that somebody touched. Same thing also, you can go to Pastor Lady Lohas and Pastor Lady will not know that you come. And what you have just come to do is just to clean the house. It's just to wash the plates. It's just to, that is how to place premium. If that kind of person is not ministering to you, you have to take care of his need. There's no how God will not use that person to minister to your need. There is no how. Fruit will abound. Because many of them will say, we want to go and see pastor. What we want to go and see pastor for? It's just that I have something in my heart that is burning me. Also know that if you don't place premium where you are going to, there will not be blessing from there. You go to pastor's house, you know, Mommy Rose is serving you drinks. Okay, I'm just a visitor. Yes, ma. Thank you, ma. I like you. You're so welcoming. Ha. Is there too? Just see, before she even come out, go and meet the sisters in the room. What is remaining? You know, what have you guys done today? What have you guys, you know, what are you guys doing? You go to the house, you see sisters laboring in the kitchen, washing plates, doing this kind of thing. You're just there. You're seated in the parlor and waiting for pastor. They say, pastor is busy. He'll soon be out. You sat down in the parlor throughout. In fact, what they are even playing in the parlor is that they are playing Revelation Hour. So you can just, I was just watching Revelation Hour all through. And your fellow sister in the kitchen washing plates, because you have come here to meet pastor. No matter what pastor tell you that day, let me tell you, there's no blessing from it. That's the real truth is that there's no blessing from it. That's not the real truth is this. You can go to a pastor house and the pastor do not tell you anything and you're already blessed. You're already blessed. Pastor does not necessarily have to see you before you are blessed. This Philippian church, Apostle Paul cannot even mention all their names. Their pastor is Epaphroditus. He said he received it through them, through Epaphroditus. So it means that they were doing things that Apostle Paul is not even aware. Because many of them want to do things for our pastors to be aware. So when I say, oh, Pastor Rose saw me. I can cook very well. You can wash plates very well. You don't need it. But he's saying he's abounding to their account. You don't need to see me. Just be doing the work and you will receive something in your account. Your account will be credited. Your soul account will be credited. So how do you place premium? Receive them as a prophet. Anything you don't place premium on, you don't receive the blessing. You know, like Pastor would say, you know, if you come to me as a counselor, I attend to you as a counselor. The way you come to me is the way I would attend to you. You know. You know, many a time we'll come, we'll have concluded, we'll just present the whole matter. You know that in this matter, you can't even come in. You'll say, oh God, it is well. Why? Because the way we presented the matter, we are coming to present to our fellow brother. So our fellow pastor will just sit as our fellow brother. Okay, that's good, that's okay. So what am I saying? We need to place premium on our pastors. And you don't receive a prophet by revelation. You don't receive a prophet by revelation. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brappy. Thank you so much. So one of the ways in which we can receive from our pastors is sometimes it's not just doing things in their presence, even in their absence. Like Brappy said, what would pastor expect you to do in a situation? What would Pastor Rose expect you to do in a situation? What would they expect? What decision would they expect you to take in certain situations? So these are the things that we should also consider when we want to, in receiving from our pastors. Okay, so we are moving on to Reverend. Okay, just want to remind us that we should send in our questions. Because we'll soon get to the question and answer session. We are moving on to Reverend's ministration now. And Reverend's ministration. Okay, so I'm sure we all listened again, right? All right. So the first question here, you know, when Reverend was ministering, he talked about how he actually mentioned the time where he saw a pastor like that owns a ministry. He was doing like a construction or something, and then he greets the pastor normally and all that. And then when he saw the construction work, he felt like he should support the ministry, but you know, he had to send Pastor Ayo and Pastor Iyola and Pastor Ayo to go and help instead of him going there. And when he mentioned that, that just gave an insight to how we should relate with other believers in the body of Christ. So, Brother Lapo, when you heard that scenario, that story that Reverend, that story is said, how did you receive that? What did it minister to you with regards to relating with other believers in the body of Christ?
Praise God. Reverend said, he said something. He said that he was talking about our daddy, Pastor E. Adibwe, you know, Reverend Bishop Oyedepo. I think what meeting was it that Reverend was also talking about Bishop Oyedepo again? That he was in UK. That he was saying that he's a seed of Bishop, you know, and all those graces are still on him. They're still in him. And he was saying that what I'm trying to say is that we should stop seeing it as, we should stop being denominational in our mind. It is one work the Lord is doing. Yes, there are many parts. You know, Romans 12, as Paul said, you know, we being many are one body. So it's one body. You know, it's on the school series on discerning the Lord's body. If you have questions, you can go back to that. So discerning the Lord's body. Now, it is one work the Lord is doing. I know if Daddy obviously has been observing that ministry, Daddy knows it's probably not a fake ministry. He knows it's a good ground. You understand? Because I believe that even everywhere you sow, even your money, if I sow my money in a ground that is not good, in under the guise of I am being charitable, the Lord will ask me. You understand? So we have to be accountable to. I know Daddy had been observing, checking his spirit too. And you know, when it was time to give, you know, I was reading Matthew 6. Was it 6 this morning? I can't remember where. And where Jesus was saying, when you give with your right hand, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's because somewhere the soul, in the same area of serving pastors that Pastor Happy was talking about, so the soul just wants to take credit. The soul just wants the other person to know, you know. It's how I want you to know I've been praying for you. I've been praying for me, that is a pride, I know. I've been praying for you. Yes, we've been praying for him, but can you keep quiet about it, you know? So the soul just likes to take ownership, take credit of good deeds, you know. But it is God that we're doing our good deeds onto, you know. And the way Daddy, you know, in secret, just, you know, ministered that need to. So I was at a prayer retreat yesterday. It was like a whole day, so I couldn't come for things. And so the venue that we used when we were done, the venue that we used is, it belongs to this church, GoFarmint. You know, it's just a, you know, but the pastor of the church just gathered it. Ah, these children are good children. Allow you use the place, you know, and we use the place. And, you know, and towards the end, there was now a burden. We have been praying for almost, we can pray for like 8-9 hours, like that stretch. No food, no water, just pray. You understand? So there was now a burden that we should pray for people in that church. You know, we should pray for their youth, pray for their pastor. Said there was even word of, I was surprised how there was so much interjection, you know, of the Holy Spirit, gift of the Spirit around the needs of the people in that church, you know. And God now started
you know, leading us in prayer, the Holy Ghost, again, for almost another 45 to 1 hour, you know, on the needs of people in that church. And we had to pray for them, address them one by one. You know, so I'm trying to say that their burden is our burden. You know, we should not feel that, okay, I'm only accountable. Yes, we will give to, Paul said, as much as lies with, no, he said, especially do good, especially to those that are of the household of faith. You understand? But who told you that those people too are not of faith? Who told you that they are of fear? You understand? They are also of faith, you know, but it's just that we, me and Pastor Happy, now we're eating from the same table. Pastor Happy is my immediate, you have to balance it too. You understand? I can't say that I'm leaving, I won't pay my tithe to any of the VC Korodi again. I'm going to be paying my tithe to, you understand? There's excess there. All I'm trying to say is that we should, because when the Lord is going to bring the harvest, you understand, it's the same places the Lord is going to go to. You know, it's the same places, and we must have that heart that is so large-hearted. You know, I've seen, you know, daddy minister in a white garment place before. You know, I've seen Pastor Emeka when we were in school minister in Selelag before. I've seen the way he ministers. You know, I've seen, there was one time Pastor Leki wore a Sele, he wore everything. But we should have that kind of heart for the body. You know, we should not feel that their own denomination, they are not pursuing eternal life. Who told you they are not pursuing eternal life? You know, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how when God is rewarding them for their allocation. In fact, many of them, the reward for their own, for being faithful in their own allocation would even be more glorious than you, that you saw everything, you know, and you didn't finish up, or you almost finished up. You understand? So I think the burden there is that we should be more sensitive, you understand, to our spirit, first of all. You understand? Look around. Check your spirit. This thing, this place. I want to help. I want to give to the Lord. You're not giving to, you know, Reverend was talking about how Pastor Adeboye sows, you know, how Bishop Oyedepo sows. He was speaking about Daddy Ezekiel before he went to be with the Lord, how Daddy was like telling Reverend to pray for him because there are many mouths to feed. So it shows that even at that level, our parents, our pastors, you know, they are still sowing, they are still giving. And you're not giving to man, you're giving to God. You know? And I know that it's a season of instruction for everything, for me. Let me say for myself, you know, it's cut across everybody too. But for me, you know, that like the Lord has to open my eyes to places I need to sow. You know, there are places, there are needs around me that the Lord just has to open my eyes to see. And, you know, and even if I don't have, when I don't have, there was one time, you know, the Lord opened my eyes to one. I didn't have the money. I had to pray and trust God for the money for like 3 months, you know, and the money came. When it came, bam, yeah. And I knew that was where the money, well, that was what the money was meant for. You know, Reverend was also saying how there are many people, he said, you know, many people that he himself also has to minister to financially. You know, so it is not something that will ever end. They are part of us. We are one body. We may think we are on the head and maybe they are on the arm, but we are the same body, you understand? And we should be sensitive to the needs of the body of Christ. You understand? Because that is the harvest. That is the field.
Thank you so much, Brother Lapo. As Brother Lapo was talking, what he said reminded me of Mommy's message during our last writing division, where she said that she still sows to ministers, that pastors that were there for her, like from a very long time and all that. And another thing that came to heart is, no, it's not just about money. So there was a day that one of my sisters and I were walking on the road. And you know when you walk on the road, there are ministers at this evangelist rather that they give out pamphlets. So on a normal day, I'm like, why should I collect this? I'm a Christian. But then obviously they can't see it written on your head that you're a Christian. What she just told me is that to help their hearts, collect it. Because you're also helping them, you're encouraging them to keep doing that. So there are different ways in which we can actually encourage believers in the body of Christ also in the allocation that God has actually given to them. They may not be listening to word of righteousness, but then there is something that God has kept in their hands that, and they have good stewards of it, so we can also encourage them. Thank you so much, Brother Lapo. Please, a round of applause once again for Brother Lapo. Okay, Star Victoria.
Amen. Hope we are getting blessed. You want to do something?
Galatians 6:8. I just want to say one something about it emphatically, because Daddy mentioned also that in addition to what Brother Dorapo has said, Daddy said the secret of EGFM is in giving. The secret of EGFM is in giving. So for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So it means that EGFM did not get to this place, life everlasting, just like that. You know, that did not just wake up one day and be thinking about angels. It's by sowing. So some of those things that Daddy did are Daddy's work that we are supposed to learn to, so that we can get there. At times, we don't understand some of these things because we don't sow. There's understanding in the realm of the Spirit. It's not by reading Bible. Understanding the realm of the Spirit is by having ways. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit what? Reap life everlasting. So we cannot come to life everlasting if we don't know how to sow to the Spirit. And every believer is a spirit. Every believer is a what? Is a spirit. He said, you know, our spirit is quickened together in heavenly place. Once you give your life to Christ, you give your life to Christ, your spirit is quickened together. So what you sow is what you will reap. You know, Daddy also mentioned that which you see brethren as an avenue for investment. Once you invest into the brethren, spirit open. The realm of the spirit opens. It's as simple as that. For some of us, the reason why we have an issue with everlasting life is because we don't sow. Anything you don't give your resources or yourself into, you cannot break into the understanding. So to break, really break into understanding, we must give ourselves to what? Sowing, to giving. When you give, you receive. The law is this: as you are giving, you what? You receive. So, but it not depends. For some people, they will say they are philanthropists, they are doing this, they are doing that. That's why they keep reaping corruption. They keep reaping corruption. They have, you see, they will give out to the motherless baby's home and they will have more money. It's still corruption. It's still corruption. They are giving. Yes, the law works for them. They are giving, but they reap more corruption. But now, it not means that I should be jealous about my money. I should be jealous because it's a means for reaping. So what, where I sow into will determine what I will reap. So if I want to understand everlasting life, give. That's how EGFM got there. And it's also how we too, as an individual, will get there by sowing. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, sir. Amen. You know, one interesting thing about listening to Reverend is that, you know, there are many things tied into one message. You know, Reverend's message is full of not just precept and doctrine. If you really look into it, you will see life, and you'll be able to fetch from life from Reverend. So, you know, like we're always being encouraged to not just listen. That is somebody that you have to really listen, you know, attentively, and not just listening with your ears, but listening with your heart. Because what is inside his message, that is very hidden, and that is how his message is, you know. So if you want to really, really fetch life, you can listen to Reverend and all you hear is precepts, to be honest. And you can, honestly, we have said it time and time again, if you want to understand doctrine, you just need to sit with it. You know, the same way we sit with, you know, our books, when we want to maybe write an exam. Sit with Reverend, you will understand all the precepts, and it's easy for you to come and say it. Okay, this, that. You know, Daddy talked about, I mean, it was how many hours meeting, and Daddy talked about so many things. Many. He talked about the Ministry of Reconciliation, talked about alarm, talked about trumpet, talked about manna, talked about breath, talked about dew, talked about money, talked about many things. But among those many things, what the Lord wants us to have is the life of it. That's the most important thing to God, honestly speaking. But you have to understand all of those things to be able to see the life of it. And, you know, I'll be very honest. I found out that it is not easy to convert precept to line. Like, you can be so carried away with precept. I found that, in fact, setting these questions, I just knew that. That's when I appreciated the ministry of Mommy Ellen a lot. Because honestly speaking, it's not as if you understand the message, you listen, but having to draw the life from these messages, it takes serious diligence in the spirit, to be honest. So it's something that is very, I don't even have the word for it, but it is, the life is hidden. There is life in these messages. The life is hidden. So I don't know, Pastor Happy, if you can help us, give us, because we have to walk in these things. You know, when we hear these things, cherubs, candlestick, menorah, this, that, angels, we have to be able to live the life. I mean, eternal life is a life expressed. It's the life that God has. So we cannot just be hearing these things. We might understand it, but it's not showing in us. So can you give us like steps that have worked for you when you listen to Daddy? How are you able to convert these things from not just doctrine, not just precepts, not just knowledge, but a conversation, drawing out conversations from, you know, messages like this, not just Daddy, but generally all our pastors when they minister to us?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. The question is lifeline from precepts. I think from the epistles, you know, from the epistles of Romans down to Revelation, you see Apostle Paul put in doctrine and also put a lifestyle. There is doctrine there and there is a lifestyle. You see Apostle Paul, particularly, let's check the Titus. Even the Titus that we use for, the title that was used for Season of the Spirit, Titus chapter 2. Chapter 2 from verse, for time's sake, let's read from verse 8. Chapter 2. Sorry. In all things showing thyself, now, from verse 1 is talking about things that become sound doctrine. Sin that become what? Sound doctrine. So precept, for every precept there is a line. And it's a precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, which is precept a little. There a little, which is line a little. So it means that for every precept, we must have the line of it. So he said, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good work. In doctrine, showing uncorruptiveness, gravity, sincerity, verse 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good work. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. Verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own what? To please them well in what? Not answering what? Again. Exhort master. Look at verse 10 now, for time's sake. 10. Not what? Forlorning, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine. To adorn the precept, you need line. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So the doctrine here is the precept that my sister is talking about. You know, the line is the life from it. So now verse 11, let's read verse 11. We'll now mess 11 with 10. Can we have 11 with 10 together? Not for learning, right? But showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. How is the grace appearing? The precept is the doctrine of our Lord Jesus, but not for loining. Now you see Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 5, he will first start from, you know, husband, love your wife, submit yourself one to another. He said, I show you a great mystery. What's the mystery? Husband, love your wife. Submit yourself one to another. I show you a great mystery between what? Christ and the church. So when you check the epistle, it's a mixture of precept and line. Now here, he said, not purloining. The question now is, when that is started, that he said that, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to my teaching us that this grace needs to teach us. What is it teaching us? Don't be purloining to your employer. You know what purloining means? Stealing what does not belong to you. He said not purloining. So it then means that what grace should teach you in this particular situation is that when dealing with When dealing with my boss, I should not be purloining. You know, there's this general statement. It's not bad in itself if we are using the time for God. Ishekekere owonla. You understand? Ishekekere what? Owonla. You know, God's servant, our dad in the house, has told us before that we should always examine ourselves. That this money that you are paying me at the end of the month, did I really work for it? You understand? So if a purloining person is someone that the grace is not appearing to. If the grace now, because what we can see from the grace of God that bringeth salvation is that it should teach us not to purloin. It should teach us to be hardworking with our work. Not purloining. You know, from the beginning, it's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. How do I deny ungodliness? We have to tie it back to verse 10. I can deny ungodliness and worldly lust by working with my boss. If my boss is saying, guy, you work extra time and we are not paying you for it. Not purloining. That is the precept, is that we should deny ungodliness. Now, how do I get the line? Submit to it. Submit to it. The precept there is that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. And this grace is saying, don't be purloining, but show fidelity. Same thing also too. I want to understand the mystery of Christ. Are you submitting to your brother and your sister? He says, submit ye one to another. Husband, submit to your wife. So when we check the epistle, you cannot just check epistle and the only thing you see is precept. You see lines. Epistle is full of line and precepts. So you now see, you know, like for example, the Philippian Bible passage that we read. You see people who say, my God shall supply all my need. My God shall supply. There's a line to that supply. What is the line? Communicate to who? To your pastor. That is how they came there. But Apostle Paul did not just pray that prayer for all believers. It's only to the Philippian church. Why? Because they communicated. So how do I get line from precept? Is that when you are reading precept, check the Bible very well. The same Bible that is saying precept, there is line in it. And also, like, you know, my sister said, when you listen to daddy, most of the things daddy were saying that day, they were precept, but there were lines in it. Like this issue of sowing, you see daddy go like this, precept. He will try to come again, line. To tell you that, to come into this, you need to obey the line. To come into this, you know, that's the wisdom of the Holy Ghost around teaching. Around teaching. When daddy first started, daddy was talking about trumpet and the like. Before you know it, daddy connected it to body. He connected it to body. Because every minister knows that if you leave it at precept alone, there will not be connection. The line is the connection between the hook and the stick to catch a fish. So if you want to catch a fish, you have a hook and you have a stick. You cannot catch the fish. You need a line to connect it. So to catch our soul, we need lines. Line is what will catch our soul. So it is expected that after, you know, this season of the Spirit, we go to this Bible passage again, go to the message again, we are checking it. How have I been dealing with my boss before? Is it for learning? Someone that is just waiting for salary. They don't even pay salary at the end of the old word has aired. The old word has aired that, oh, this song, okay. That, but the question is, do you really examine yourself too for that month? How you have shown a good fidelity? Then grace has appeared. Grace has appeared. So line and precept are together. They are together. So you cannot say that I just have precept without line. Read the epistle from the beginning to the end. Apostle Paul will put precept. He will put line. Say, you know, when he started this titles, he said, you know, speak that which is of sound doctrine. You know, I say, how will you say my relationship with my boss is a sound doctrine? It is a sound doctrine. Because everybody in their relationship with their boss, now who go gain? Or God, they look for who go gain. You too, they look for who go gain. So now you're not laying your life down to gain is a profit. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, whatever we do it utterly as what? Unto the Lord, because we receive the reward of the Lord. So you can see now that a precept here is already connecting to another Bible passage. That we receive the reward, Christ, which is the reward. So precept and line are always together in the epistles. So when we read the epistle, we are not just looking for a revelation to share. Stay with the line. Stay with the line. Then the precept open further. That's why it is precept upon precept. Line upon line. Hear a little, dare a little. Precept upon precept. That's how the song, line upon line. Hear a little, precept a little, line a little. Dare precept a little, line a little. Then we come into it.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So, as Pastor Happy has rightly said, you know, let me just mention just a few tips, few that we can all relate with. Okay, so you're in a meeting. Now, everybody's hearing the same message. But Holy Ghost is not telling everybody the same thing in that exact meeting. You are hearing at your level. That's why you can be sitting now maybe with somebody like Reverend, and you're listening to something, you think you're not seeing the same thing. You understand? Though you may be listening to the same thing, you're not seeing the same thing. If me and Pastor Happy are watching a movie now, for example, let me not say message. What he's seeing is different from what I'm seeing, but the same message is being passed across. Why? Because his utensils are different from mine. His growth is different from mine. So what is the Holy Ghost telling you? The moment when you were even listening to that message, during that meeting, you can remember the atmosphere. The Holy Ghost was laying some things in your heart at that moment. That is an urgent precept that needs to become a line. At that moment, what did you do with it? Did you write out the instruction? You wrote out the instruction. Okay, have you played it through? Have you done it? Okay, fine. You didn't receive any instructions at that particular moment. Okay, but what was the last instruction before coming into that meeting? You understand? There are just some very, very simple tips here and there, you know, that we just have to be attentive to, you know. Also, when the Lord brought out the Israelites out of, you know, he told them, he said, these words, bind them upon, he said, upon the post of your door, let them be, ever be in front of you. So that also shows the place of the need to hear again. Probably you were in the meeting, things where you're doing a lot of things. You probably didn't pay attention to something. Maybe you're working on something, but you know the Lord is telling you to go and listen again. You're listening again, and now you're in a more calm, collected environment. Because you are bringing those words before you again, the Lord can instruct again and bring out some things that he wants you to actually pay attention to. So there's the need to listen again. It's very important. We should not listen again only because, like me, because they said you are coming for a review. No, we should listen like because we need to pay, because there are precepts there that must become lines. You know, there are things that the Lord is saying through all those things that he's saying for me, for my own salvation, you know. So we have to put the words ever before our faces. It has to keep beholding. That's what you will, the more you keep it. So there was one. If it comes again.
Thank you so much, Brother Lapo. All right, so we've come. This is the last question for Reverend's ministration. And, okay. So, you know, while Reverend was ministering, you know, Reverend likes to give a lot of examples and his life stories, things he has experienced and all. And he mentioned how in Ekiti, I think it was when Reverend was also talking about Pastor. And yes, so he said, like in Ekiti, that there were a lot of pastors then to that he lost a lot of them that were like Pastor Tope. And like it was really like a pain to his heart when he was actually saying that. And, you know, and that these pastors, he lost them in the sense that they left this part. So that begs the question, like, what does it really take to stay and not leave this part? Brapi.
The answer.
This is well. Okay, so what does it take to stay on this path? I think one of the most important things is sincerity. I think it's something we look down on too much. We try and over spiritualize, and let me cast myself small. I was reporting myself to Pastor Lady one of these days. Recently, I was just thinking about one matter, and I just told him sincerely. So this is how he's doing. Your pastor was just laughing. You know, we laughed about it. I know Pastor. I believe Pastor prayed for me. You know, but just can you just be sincere? You know, don't try and put yourself at a level you are not on. The message is already coming after your idols. You know, admit I have these idols. Admit that these are tendencies in my soul. The Lord is demanding them, you know, and you have to just be sincere. When you see that you don't have the strength to continue, talk to your brother, talk to your sister, talk to your pastors, because Satan is after everybody, you know, and it's something to be very fearful about, because many people, the ambition, you know, we all know about who's the man that left Paul? Demas, you know, he left Paul. He said, having loved this present world, look, there are so many things in you that you don't know your own soul, you know, and you have to be very, sincerity, accountability are extremely important. Also, you know, David said, Lord, I have not concern myself with paraphrasing in matters that are too high for me. I think Pastor was preaching a message like, was it 2 weeks ago? He was also talking around this area. Some things are not your business. You know, you hear that something happened, somebody left this part, you're asking, what happened? Looking for what's not missing. At the end of the day, that spirit that took that person will take you to, what are you looking for? You understand? Some things are just not your business. Some matters are too high for you. You don't have the stature for it. It's okay. Stay in your level, you know, and just keep. You don't have to know too many things. You don't have to know too many gists, you know. It's that are too high for me. It's because Satan is just looking for where he can just catch you, you know. We have to be wise as serpents, you know. Yet, you know, how did they say it? Gentle as the doves, you know, because somebody that is going to and from is going up and down. You understand the earth. Anybody he senses, you know, he's going to. So when Job stood before, when Job's matter came up, you know, Satan had already checked and checked and checked and checked. So when God was saying, "Have you considered my servant?" You say, "Ah, is it not because Job had an?" Do you know that Satan had an answer to everything God was telling? Said, "Is it not because of this one? Is this one? Let me. If we do this one, now it will work." Brought him again. Is it not because his body is? If we do this one, it will work. So Satan has examined our souls and he knows those places he's looking for. So we have to be very, very, very accountable. We have to be very, very, very sincere before authorities, before our brethren, you know, and also don't concern yourself with matters that are too high for you. Stay in your level. Stay in your level and also pray. Be meek. Be very, very, be very, very sendable. There are so many demons that will wash off your head just from being sent from one place to the other. You know, Pastor Mike was sharing one meeting that, you know, I kind of got proximity to listen to. He was talking about how the years when he would just stay in the house, be massaging daddy's leg, you understand? Massaging daddy's leg, daddy would wake him up at 2 a.m. to massage, you know, things like that. Just very funny things. But there are just so many things that are being sent away. You know, when we just serve, when we just meek, when we are not looking for things that are too high. And also, always point the knife at yourself. When the message is a sword, or we don't point it at somebody else, point it at yourself. You are hearing something now. God is saying this, God is saying that, God is addressing an issue. And the first thing you can think of is, Tunde, you know, point, first of all, Tunde, I'm sorry, point that sword at your own self, first of all, you know, because you should be sincere. God, I don't have this stature, but you can help me. You know, I have these tendencies. I love this world. I love these things. God, help me. And God will help us.
Thank you so much, Brother Lapo. Wow. We thank God for today's review. We've come to the end of questions from the administration. So we are in the Q&A session now. We have 4 questions here and one with Rapi. So, Rapi, do you want to go first?
I think this question is from a teenager. I'll just read, summarize it. What mistake would you advise any Christian teenagers not to make in Christ Jesus? So I believe that this question is referring to every other thing that was listed after this. Did you at any time, like, crush someone, thinking the person was your wife, but the person...
This question is for you.
He's a teenager, actually. How did you know your wife was the one? Did you at any time lusted after someone for physical appearance? How did you overcome it? Did you think liking the opposite sex as a teenager is normal or not? Okay, all right. I think I'll summarize the answer.
Okay, I think we've said it here before. Crush. Now, one thing Pastor Mike told us is that, of course, God puts the pool there for opposite sex. It's a sign that you are normal, right? The pool for opposite sex is a sign that what? We are normal. So, we must be able to differentiate between the two. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the person was asking if I had crush for any other person, right? I did. Of course, that was in school. I like football a lot. There was this girl then, not even a Christian. You know, she plays football. I used to coach her and the like. So before you know it, feeling has entered and the like. So, but thank God I was attending Gada. It's there, so I know that there should be a boundary somewhere. So so if that's the question, fine. Yes, everybody have that one way or the other. So how do you now balance this? The way you balance is this. Know first that you are going to marry a wife, not two wives. You are going to marry a wife. The first thing is, how do you know that? How are you going to know that this is your wife? The first thing, has the Lord been leading you? God is not a magician. God will not just start one day, because many a times every Christian wants to hear the Lord in marriage, but you don't want to hear the Lord in every other thing. How has God been leading you? I believe so much in inner witness. You know, marriage, if any marriage come by spectacular, please submit it again and again and again and again. Because the spectacular will not keep you when the trouble of the marriage starts. It's still the same inward witness that will keep. So the first question is, how has the Lord been leading you? You know, that's one thing our pastor will always ask. How has the Lord been leading you? Oh, this is this sister. Do you go shopping for it? Shop here, shop here, shop there, shop here. Okay, it's this one. No. No, as a teenager, he that is unmarried, care for the things of the Lord. Teenager, leave crush alone. Care for the what? Care for the things what? You see many things Pastor AK listed yesterday. For at the age of 12, that one alone, that one alone is worth caring for. Is worth crushing for. You can crush for those things. You can have a feeling to become the son of God. But I'm just feeling it. Yes. That feeling will drive you to prayer. I'm just feeling that I want to become the son of God. Yes. Let that feeling drive you to prayer. Let it drive you to prayer. And one thing I've known is that if you say, you know, for I think three of us were together when Pastor told us, me, Pastor Ni, Pastor Di, when Pastor told us, start praying, consigning your life personal. Who wasn't thinking about it at all? So it means that even if you are not thinking about it, you have spiritual authorities to think about it for you. So it's not your thinking. It wasn't Adam thinking from the beginning. It was God that bought it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Teenagers, do you understand? Teenagers, do you understand? Cross Jesus. There's a way you can have a feeling perpetually for the Holy Ghost. Perpetually. That feeling wants to steal the place of the Holy Ghost. So just push it aside. Push it aside. So the question is, how do I know? Because the Lord has been leading me before now. That is how I knew that this is my wife. And it's by inner witness. No voice came from anywhere. There's just inner witness with confirmation from our pastor. Hallelujah. Okay, it says more details. More details. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, my wife is someone that is very friendly. Even while I was in NYC, she was sending money to me. Yeah, she was. She was. She was sending, of course, with, in fact, if you ask my wife that I'm the one, and at that time, she stopped sending the money. So it wasn't with any intention at all. She's just someone that loves giving. At that time, she even asked me that, see, I have so amount of money. This money is too much. And this money is too much in my account. I don't know what to use the money for. She will ask me. I said, you don't know what to use the money for. You don't know what to use the money for. But to a great extent, God knows that, of course, she can. She's here to say it. I will never tell you to send your money to me. No. But I think she had a leading to be doing that. She sent money to me even while in NYC. When I came back from NYC, that was when House Fellowship started. She was staying in Aruna. House Fellowship is at our Greek. So she used to come for House Fellowship. We go together. But one of the things I know is that anytime I come back from House Fellowship, Pastor is always asking me about what I ask you to pray about. So how about what I ask you? At that time, I wasn't the one that was thinking it. It was Pastor that was saying it's time. So I put more demand on my spirit. Now this spirit that put more demand, or demand that was already on the spirit. So it's not that wife now is not what to now put demand on the spirit. No, there was already a demand on the spirit. So there's a demand on the inner witness. When the Lord was saying this, I was saying, this one is too big. can give me someone that, you know, we finish school, we don't have job, and hey, I like it that way. no cover, keep me here, you know, you understand. So, however, you know, Pastor kept on asking me. So I told Pastor that there's someone, but the caliber, I don't think, that's all me I'm thinking. Yeah, you know, so, yes, it says in your life, yes, in your life. You know, so then I just keep the way you are doing, the way you just do your normal work. In fact, the Holy Spirit will speak to you about your wife in the midst of your spiritual work. It is in the midst of your work. When I mean work, not job, it's in the midst of your work that they will speak to you about your wife. Not spectacular. You are just doing your normal work. There's no, you know, many other times we feel that marriage is one big thing. It's not big thing. It's not separated from your work. The first thing is master how the Lord has been talking to you. Master how the Lord has been talking to you. Once you master it, it's very easy. It's very easy. So it's in the midst of your work that the Lord will speak to you. So the Holy Spirit just kept on bringing it to me. In fact, the Lord did not say, this is your wife. The Lord did not say, this is your wife, emphatically. The Lord did not say, this is your wife, emphatically. But what the Lord keep doing is that the Lord keep bringing it to me. I find so much grace when I pray for her. So much grace. It's just a flow. Anytime. You just pray. You just... No, the truth is there's always grace around it. You just... Not lost. That's why I say you need to master your spirit. It's not that you'll be doing this thing for a sister. So... You just want one sister that you'll be doing one thing for all the time. When another person is not demanding, you know, say, oh, no. But when this occurs, you just give. No, that one is nothing. It's not your wife. It's a lust. Because your wife is out of love and love shares. So if my wife is out of love and love shares, what I am doing for the person who is to be, I should be able to do for other sisters. Stool. Hallelujah. So how has the Lord been leading you? That's the first question. So in the midst of how the Lord has been leading you, has the Lord led you to submit to your parents? Have you been washing plates? You know, or you are going to one mountain to look for preparing for your life partner? No. It might just be when you are doing your office work and the Lord is saying, you know, this work that your boss give you, ensure you finish it on time. You just say, Olayinka is your wife. And you're like, at work, that my God give me, Olayinka is your wife. How come? You understand? So it's not hallelujah. I hope we are together. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But if it's for a teenager, cross. Let that cross be for Christ. When it is time, your pastor will tell you. But having a feeling for an opposite sex, you just see an opposite sex, there's a feeling, you understand, that just comes to you. Once staying on the feeling is the problem. Staying on the, like scripture will say, take no thought. It doesn't mean that thought will not come. Agbe, don't take it. But the feeling will come. It's a sign that you are normal. It's a sign that what? You are normal. That you have a feeling for opposite. It's a sign that you are normal. That's why if you have feeling for the same sex, it's a sign that the person is abnormal. It's a sign. But don't take it. Don't take it when you have the feeling. Don't stay on it. Leave the feeling alone. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah. So, your leading concerning your wife come in the place of your work. Just keep doing your normal work. They will lead you there. When pastors say, go and bring plates, from there, just hear Feyi.
Sister Feshara in the church. Okay, thank you so much for happy. I think that was profound enough. I think our teenagers have actually. Okay, so because of time constraints, we have to take the questions quickly. We have 4 questions left. So this one says that. What is the place of the death of our pastors in bearing some cost? If they bear some, are we bearing the rest or another? About waiting, How do you maintain a heart posture of growth and not murmur or take offense? Okay, you can take the second one about waiting. Okay, you want to start from there. Then Burapi will take. Okay, I should repeat it. What is the place of the death of our pastors in bearing some costs? If they bear some, are we bearing the rest or another?
The truth is, heavy man will bear his cross first. Our pastor bearing cross is not a way of escape for us. So, every man will take up the cross and follow Jesus. Because scripture even say that a father will not bear the cross of the son, the daughter, everybody have his own cross to bear. So, but, God's servant, our parents have higher cross to bear because of the soul that's under them. Scripture says, smite the shepherd, the sheep will now scatter. So it means that even our parents will bear some of your cross, right? One of the way they bear it is by not, allowing Satan to smite them. Because once Satan smites the shepherd, of course, the flock will scatter and he unpick the flock. Just like a mother hen that has fowl under it, right? The survivor of those chickens, is the feather that the mother hen used. Once the eagle eats the chicken and the chicken check ground, and if eagle eats a chicken, a fowl, it's not always something that is joyous for that fowl. So that same thing, that's how they bear us also. The shepherd bear us, right? So there is also the responsibility of the chicken. What is the responsibility? To run under the mother. If the chicken just stay like that and just say, I'll fight the eagle, the eagle will carry the chicken up like this and swallow it. You understand? So our responsibility is to run under. And in the place of running under, that is where you will not bear your own cross. Now, let me use the example. God's servant, our pastor, told us the car is an example that I gave before. The instruction came through him, also bearing witness with us. But however, this instruction came through God's servant to us, right? All the time that, the car will stop at the road, right? What will Satan be telling you? You say you are following your pastor, How do you bear the cross? By taking it without complaining. By taking, one of these days, Satan just came. Thank God. That's why I said that when the loss is coming, he said, why we look not at the things that are seen? Look for the things that are unseen. When you are going through, because the internal weight of glory, if you are not looking at something, when Satan comes back, you will be forced to not believe what has happened before. For example, what is the price of car now? Satan was telling me, if you had bought that car then, you won't be having two different cars that are not even up to one. If you have used to buy that car, then you see, I say you are following your pastor. See the economy now. To get car now, to get car. You understand? If there was nothing we are looking for, through that alone, Satan can counter somebody. So, what is the cross for you to bear? Is the cross that Satan will bring acquisition? I've asked for someone before. You had one attempt me to take this job, a sheep telling the shepherd, I don't attempt me to take this job, see what I'm going through in this job. And because what you just feel that if pastor says something, you must have a physical reward. For some of us, you just feel that, if the fact that our pastor have said it, we'll have a smooth ride. No. They are saying it because they know your soul. He said they watch over, so they know where your souls are scattered. It is through this thing that your soul can be gathered. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So the question is, where? Our God servant bear it for us, but we also, many a times when instruction comes from them to us, that does not mean that it will be palatable. But when those instruction comes, I was about to say, as my child, no one stood with me. No one stood with me. As my first child, he said, no one stood with me. He said, when the lion swallowed, nobody was there, but the Lord stood with him. And the reason why lion came was because of the flock. He wanted to defend the flock. So we should be able to defend it. Make dealing personal. Make instruction personal. If God's servant say, wait, and seek the face of the Lord on why you are waiting, not the face of your pastor. On why you are waiting. God's servant have said, wait, go and pray about it. You will know the reason why. God's servant say, wait. We have many examples in the house. Many, many examples. I don't know if that answered the question for times.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So I think that's Brappy already answered both questions. Okay, so this one says, how can I wait? Okay, I think, but let me still ask. How can I wait? Because I was taught in my former church that waiting upon the Lord is that waiting where you close your eyes and wait for a voice to speak to you. But I am seeing now that the wait upon the Lord is beyond closing your eyes. Please, how can I wait upon the Lord?
Praise God. So how can you wait upon... Wow. How? So if you are waiting for something... let's just look at it together. I've not thought of it, but let's look at it together. So I'm at the Korudu garage. I'm trying to get to Fadi, right? I get to the bus stop, right? Okay, they say buses come here. There's no bus on ground. So now I'm waiting for a bus, right? People are queuing. But I have to get myself ready such that if the bus comes now, or even if the bus doesn't come, you understand? Waiting would mean, okay, I should probably buy a ticket. I should probably get some cash, buy a ticket. I should probably examine the queue. This queue is very long. I can't. I have to find another means, or I have to just be prepared for whatever to receive whatever the outcome is going to be. I don't think that was such a good illustration anyway. But like, waiting would involve getting yourself ready to receive whatever the outcome may be. You understand? I would have said a little more, but if I say some things, it will look like I'm already telling you to do some things, which is not necessarily what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, yes, thank you, Jesus. Where you are right now, where they told you to stand and wait, how have you kept it? You understand? You came to speak with Pastor, for example, about a job, and Pastor, let's wait for it. Where you are now, have you finished fulfilling all the obediences in that place before the next chapter opens up? You understand? There are things you have to do there. You understand? There was a garden for Adam to tend to before the Lord now started bringing all the other animals, and eventually he brought Eve. You understand? There are things you have to do to get yourself ready for whatever the Lord says, you know, this and that. Another thing is preparing your heart to not be offended. Thank you, Jesus. It's trusting that God loves me, and whatever outcome is going to come out of this, I may think I'm seeing this, but God has a better picture. A better picture would not necessarily mean better to my flesh, but God has a better picture that in the long run will be more favorable to me. So waiting is resting and trusting in God's love for you. You understand? Also praying, you know, you have to stay praying. You have to look at that thing in the spirit. You know, Satan wants us to look at everything in the flesh when it seems favorable and when it doesn't. But when you, faith is a substance, right? It is something, it is not... It is in the spirit, that thing. There's an answer to that thing in the spirit. My spirit man knows. So, like, when I'm waiting on something, I'm basically just trying to align myself. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to align myself with my spirit, who already knows the job I'm supposed to take anyways. You understand? So it's preparing my soul to be aligned with my spirit and preparing my flesh also for whatever consequences may arise, you know, at the end. I don't know. I think Pastor wants to say something.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. There's a discipline or consecration of waiting to hear. Waiting to what? Hear from God. That is to quiet noises around us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Which every soul should learn. But much more than waiting to hear, there is a discipline of waiting to be led. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's a discipline of what? Waiting to be led. Now, to be able to pick the voice of the Spirit, there are some consecrations. Otherwise, you will not pick it. But when the voice of the Lord comes, sometimes it doesn't come with a sense of timing. Like God told Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. Do you understand? Or I would... leave your father's house, and then I'll give you the land. I will show you. Do you understand it? Now, there is no sense of time to that. He heard God quite all right. Amen. And that response. But in the quest of that journey, haste, restlessness began to set in, because irritability. Do you understand it? Hope that different make it the heart sick. Now, hearing from God is different from being led. Because even though God tells you a little, God will not tell you everything. Are you understanding? God will not tell you everything. So, waiting on the Lord in the context is also waiting for the Lord to work out what he says at his time. Are you understanding it? Because sometimes the danger we fall into is that, especially for those of us that seem to know what God has said, you can go and perform it yourself. Just this example I always give you, Sarah. God said, child, my slave is my property. If I can't give you child, my slave can give you child. You understand? It was lawful. So Abraham went and said, Kai, revelation. In fact, tonight, and immediately he slept. Kai, you were in the spirit. Oh, Kai, I didn't know say your saying sharp like this. God, I didn't know what that was, what God was saying. It was until the child came, then God visited and said, no, this is not what I was talking about. Now, flesh can hijack the program of God. That's why leading is important. Are you understanding? You don't only hear from God, you wait. Now, for people, this is strange to church. This side of waiting is what is. Now, the church knows waiting to hear. Quieting. Go, if I can go for a retreat and just pa. You know, say, this is what God said. Then you take it up. Then you now plan. You set goals, target. You now begin to walk it. But the way of the Spirit, it doesn't like that. When God says, you go and hang it. And then start watching the Lord. How does God want to do it? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, when I say hang it, it is also not dosa. You are not also dosa. You are active in the spirit, not in the natural. You are watching and waiting. That's waiting because what God tells you is the one that will accomplish it. That's the part that the church doesn't want to agree. If you have not been so led, you will kick into the flesh and you will make it happen. But when you make it happen, God will tell you he doesn't have a hand in it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You will make it happen. Like those that prophesied in the name, did good things, and God said, I don't know you. That thing doesn't bear my gene. For those that God is, and I tell you, it is death. It is what? A lot of death. When God has told you, and you have ability to make it happen, but you are constrained from making it happen because he hasn't given any go ahead. He hasn't given any go ahead. So God will lead you. Say lead. Lead. And when they are leading you, they are expiring laws inside of you. They are expiring hastes. They are expiring your commitment to that idol. Are you understanding? At the end of the day, the same Abraham that was looking for a child, by the time the child came, the child was nothing again. Because they have used that process to expire that thing inside. Now, why God does this is because everything has power. Say everything has power. Everything has power. The things that, Bible says, all things are lawful, but not all things are experienced. He said, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Now, for you not to be brought under the power of a thing, they must expire its power over your soul. Are you understanding? They must what? Expire it. So it's not as if God that promised you a job cannot give you a job now. But he wants to expire the power of that job. He wants what? Expire the power of that job over. So he waits until you are not even desiring it again. Sometimes when you are not now ready again, God now says, okay. It is until Abraham's body was dead, when he couldn't produce again. God now said, now it's time. He said, He said, now it's time. That is the work of leading. So waiting on the Lord in this context. I know you have been taught in your church and all of that, but waiting on the Lord in this context is actually waiting for the Lord to perform his word. And the performance of his word is that God, in the character of God, he would have expired everything. He uses dead men. Are you understanding it? Until you are dead, God doesn't show up. Until you are dead, he doesn't show up. Until you are dead. Because he's leading you for something. He's leading you for salvation's sake. So God can tell you about relationship now. And the next thing that you have already, okay, we have already put in time. And for the next 5 years, it's quiet again. I'm like, the way it was, the way he said it was as if it was going to happen next month. One of the things I've learned to do is like, Mary, keep it to your heart, then throw it away. Keep it what? Keep it in your heart and throw it away. Believe it, but leave it to God. Believe it, but leave it to God. Then the Lord will now come in his own time and say, hey, what I told you 5 years ago, now let's begin it. Sometimes you have even forgotten. I remember one of those days, I had had an encounter that Oti Bumomilowo. You understand when you say, in God Bumomilowo, Oti Bumomilowo. Then about over a year later, God now said, you know that encounter I had with you? Now, okay, I'm now here to now begin to explain it. I'm like, when I was in problem, when the thing was hurting me, when everything was scattering, where were you? But God wanted to expire something. You see, God is not just about performance. He's about salvation. Are you understanding it? So he's not as interested in performing something than he is in saving us. Do you understand it? So we must understand leading. When they are talking, waiting on the Lord, or waiting on the Lord, leading, we must understand the dynamics. It's one thing. The consecration to quiet and be sober and hear the word is good. And we don't discourage it. Sometimes you need that alone time to be able to hear God. Are you understand it? But much more than that, what it will take to wait on the Spirit, they will have to quiet your lust. Kill it. That's another level of quietness that your soul is not used to. Where they quiet your hopes. They've quieted your ambition. They've quieted everything. By silence, they have killed everything. Then when you are now dead, you check it. He doesn't have hope for it any longer. He says, hey, now let's begin. God calleth what? He quickeneth the dead. And then what? Calleth those things that be not as though they were. We must learn to rest in God. We must what? Rest in God. I say this again. God will expire haste. God will expire haste in us. Say, you will not go out by haste, nor by flight, because the Lord will go ahead of you. Are you understanding? Say, wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Lord bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, sir. So I guess the question has been answered to the person that asked the question. So we have two questions left, and I'm going to be reading them together. So this one says, my question is that in the case of our parents heeding to false prophets and false prophecies, and because of that, your mother changes towards you. How can you still obey and submit to your parents with this change in attitude? Then the second one, sorry, but thank you very much, our hosts and panelists. This clarification is required based on what Pastor Appy said. He said if we visit our pastor and he prayed for us while we didn't do chores or serve physically, we wouldn't be blessed. My question is, what if this negligence is not intentional or it's done so as not to be seen as too forward and the likes? Rabbi, you can answer both together, sir.
Okay, let me start from the second one. All right. May Satan not cheat us. Amen. What I'm saying is this. I'm not saying that if pastor pray for you, the prayer will not answer. Right. So, what I'm saying is this, is for you to profit from that visitation. At times, you know, I can remember when, you know, I got to the house, the instruction pastor, God told me that follow your pastor. Now, follow your pastor here. I wasn't serving anything pastor at all. It was Mommy Rose. You understand? That was seven. So now, many a times we, like Pastor was saying, we interpret the leading of the Spirit with our mind. For some of us, you know, the pressing question saying that, what if you don't want to be too forward, right? So I want us to know that brethren life is not a forward life. For me, I don't think it's a forward life. So also too, it may be that that's what we have learned in other places. Maybe that's the way you've seen other churches do things and the likes. I can bet you that, you know, when you get to the kitchen and start washing plates, nobody will tell you you are too forward. I can bet that with you. You understand? The reason why that we are saying that is because we don't know that we are one family. It's because we don't know that you are part of the family. It's because we don't know that we have a tie together. You know, I know that the way the world has designed us is that, you know, you do your things your own way, I do my own things my own way. This now is being done here. You know, my wife used to say that, you know, for some pastors, like now, we put our, you know, daughter in pastor's place. For some pastor, you dare not say you want to put your daughter for your pastor's wife to be taking care of your daughter. You understand? It's a taboo. Is who born you? Why did you even mention it? You know, people, you have to book appointments before you even come to the house. You understand? But for us, it's not like that. It's not like that. So, you know, somewhere I feel that, you know, the person may have experiences before. A person may have experiences before on how pastors' houses and the likes. No. When you come to brethren house, your brother, enter the brother room. Go and play there. Look for chores. Do it. Nobody will flog you that you are cleaning the toilet. In fact, Lord Ben, will you not be happy that someone clean the toilet? That someone clean the toilet. You share out of his burden. You share out of the burden. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? We just need to be free in our pastor's house. So I'm not saying that. I said the way you will receive your pastor will determine the kind of reward you will get from your pastor. So when pastor pray for you, the prayer will answer. But if you want to push your prayer to be answered, like you want to push for that, they are not just, you come to pastor that, pastor, you know, I have this problem, I need you to pray for it, and I want the problem to go. You also want your soul to journey. Do things that will make your soul journey. Because, you know, scripture says, Paul planted, Apollos waters, the Lord giveth increase. Now, the increase that the Lord will give is based on the work that you have put in. Pastor can pray for you and the situation disappear. But going to pastor's house, how has that improved my work with the Lord? Not just the situation or not just the problem that is driving me. Also, I want my soul to be saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want my soul to be saved. So I'm not saying that if pastor pray for you, you know, the prayer will be answered. Again, be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty, the Spirit of the Lord in our pastor's house. And so you have the liberty to do chores when you get there. Hallelujah. But going now, you know, I think the extreme side may not be now. It is pastor room that I want to go and clean the toilet. That is where you are passing your boundary. Do you understand? Stay with your brethren. As a brother, you come to Bro Benga, please, can I wash your clothes? I'll bring, in fact, the one for Bro Emmanuel, the one for Ezekiel. I'll bring everything. You will wash. You will wash very well. And in the midst of washing it, your soul is being tampered. Oh, yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope that answered the question.
Thank you so much. Can we appreciate Pastor Happy? That was... So, I just felt I should... speak to this particular question. I think there is, well, I don't want to preempt or be presumptuous about the question, who asked the question, but I think there is a mindset about when I stay with a pastor or I stay with a spiritual leader, maybe perhaps the person prays a lot, they do Bible study, they do a lot of, if I go there, he will impact me. And if I, you know, you're like, do you want to stay with a brother or a pastor? I'll stay with a pastor because I will get closer to God quick, faster than if I stay with a brother. You know, that kind of mind. And so when you now go to the pastor's house, the way Pastor Lide is very intense. You just believe that he's praying in tongues 24 hours in the house. Then anytime you just stumble to his, on his Bible, praying, reading and scripture and preaching to everybody in the house. And you just say, maybe if I go into that environment, I will grow faster spiritually. Maybe that's what that person is asking. So maybe you are thinking that maybe gather everybody and start laying on everybody every morning, lay hands on everybody and prophesy into everybody's life. And then when they come out, you say, those people, they live with pastor in pastor's house. You say, no wonder. They seem to be more vibrant in the spirit. You see, when Pastor David is taking Bible study, you see, he's very vibrant. How many of you enjoy that manifestation? He stayed with pastor. You see, this man that he's been talking here, at least we all know the story. He has given us, he stays with pastor, isn't it? Now, let me tell you the secret. The secret is not because Pastor Lyde lays hands on them every morning, or maybe he just called them and said, kneel down, I prophesy in your life. You know the secret? They served. They folded their sleeves and they served. They believed. They believed. They are believers. Do you understand? They are believers. They believed in that authority. It was Pastor A.Y. that said something. If I simulate just the same, he said he thought that if you lived with at our great daddy, Reverend Oyegoke's house, and Mommy Oyegoke's house, that they will always have money, devotion, and then maybe he begins to preach and teach everybody. He said he stayed there for like, is it how many, is it 6 months? That sometimes you just see the man of God just pass by and going to the office. That he didn't see any devotion, things like that. They were not. And he was wondering that, but I thought if I come to this house, I will see some spiritual exercise. So what we call spiritual exercise is he reads his Bible regularly, he prays regularly, and all the stuff that goes around that. That is not the exercise. That's not the exercise. The exercise is your charity work in that environment. What will help you to grow faster is when you can connect. You see yourself, Pastor was listening to me that when you go to your parents, like the fellow that asked the question said, won't it be too forward? When you get to your parents' house and your dad carries his clothes, wants to wash it, will you say, I'll be too forward to help him wash his clothes? Or maybe you saw your father carries wash soap and he wants to wash his car. And you're in the compound, you're in the house. Will you say, I may be too forward if I go and carry the sponge from my father's hand to wash his car? So it's a matter of exercising your soul. When you find yourself in that environment, one thing is that, how can I serve this man? Or of course, in this scenario, this woman. How do you serve them? You look for things that you need. I think it was last time I was doing a review, I was rounding up. I said something. I said, service are in levels. There are levels of service when I tell you what to do and you do it. It's a level. If I want you are living with pastors, there's another higher level of service where I don't tell you what to do, but you can pick my spirit and discern me. I know this man will like this thing and you do it. Now, there is a reward for that. That was why that parable Jesus gave concerning the servant that came from the field. He said, when he comes from the field, does he go and sit down and expect to be served food? He said, no. Rather, they would tell him, stand here, right? Get yourself and serve me first to eat. After you have finished eating and you are full, you are okay, he's supposed to ask you, are you okay? Any other thing I can do for you? And he said, no, I think I'm fine now. Then you can go and eat your food. And the servant goes and eat. Then he says something that is very striking. He said, that servant will say, I am an unprofitable servant. I've only done that which they asked me to do. So to make you profitable, you must be able to look for what they did not tell you to do and do it. And it will still please your master. Then you are indeed a profitable servant. Do you know what I'm saying? He said, I'm an unprofitable servant. I only did what they asked me to do. Now it's a level. If you want to really serve when you go to pastor's house, now I'm not making any call for people to come and gather in pastor's house. The Lord will lead you there. But when you find yourself, they don't think that you will receive the blessing when pastor says, kneel down, let me prophesy into your life. Mm-mm. You will receive your blessing, full blessing, when you first of all serve at the first level when they tell you what to do. Okay, in this house, we sweep the floor, we wash the plate, we wash the car. It's a good place. Serve. Then when you begin to master, you've been in that environment, Holy Ghost will begin, just in your spirit, begin to discern those people you are serving. And sometimes you just know that this man might need this thing, or this woman is, let me cover this area. And you do some things. Then you are blessed indeed. Leave that house when it's time. Is Pastor Happy not beautiful? You see his story, you don't know that story. But he told you some of the dealings he had to go through. He had fought his warfare, heart posture. Sometimes spirit will say, bring rebellious thought in his heart to despise his master in this sense. But he has fought his warfare and he's doing very well. He married a beautiful wife. Even though the car gave him trouble, it was a process. He believed. That was the first thing I said. He believed. He's a believer. But he's doing very well. If he didn't tell you his story, you wouldn't know that he had that kind of background of dealing. The Lord will give us wisdom. And wherever you find yourself, please, wisdom. Believe and then serve. Discern and then serve with discernment. Lord will help us.
Thank you so much, Daddy. So the last question is, in the case of our parents heeding to false prophets or prophecies, and then your mother changes towards you because of these prophecies or prophets, how can you still submit and obey with this change of attitude?
Pastor Happy just bullied me. Praise God. Okay, so you said your parent is treating you differently. They're influenced by false prophets. Okay, the mother is influenced by a false prophet and then her attitude changes towards you. So let's look at it this way. God can keep you. God can keep you, and it just depends on how wise and how discreet you are. How wise you are about what you have. How discreet you are about what you have. If indeed you have learned the spirit of this message, you would understand that honor to our parents is not negotiable in any way. You'd understand that there is a grace that the Lord would only bring. And you also understand that if you cannot honor your biological parents, your spiritual parents too. You understand? However, now this is a peculiar case because of the exposure to wrong spirits. Abi, familiar spirits. Now, you have the Holy Ghost. Your mother, for example, she may even have the Holy Ghost, or probably she's not familiar with how the Holy Ghost leads. And so she's easily falling prey to this other. Now it is wisdom to put your foot down when it is instructing you to do something against the principles of the faith that you stand for. You definitely have to, pastor will definitely talk, because I mean, what do I know, you know? But when it is now demanding, for example, that I follow you to one shrine, you understand? If they say, prophet, something came, he said that you should do, he said that so, it will be well with you. Say amen, mommy, amen, you understand, and move on. You understand? But when it now demands that you go against that which has been, sir? Yes, the tenets of your faith, that which has been formed in you, and you know that you are deconstructing what the Lord has constructed in you. At that point, you have to put your foot down, you know, and say, this is my faith. This is my faith, and this is what I believe. And, you know, in all meekness of wisdom, you understand, submit to Pastor Laidi. Thank God. Submit the master to Pastor Laidi, or Pastor Laidi will tell you what to do from there. Praise God.
Amen. Praise your name. Very, very wise boy. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Are we blessed this afternoon? I was telling Pastor Moses, you see, what happens at that instance matters very little. How your conversation beyond that, before that time, has more weight than what you do at that instance. Really. Many of us, because of the kind of life we have lived, our parents can't trust our judgment. Are you understanding? And when your parents cannot trust, I mean, from all your choices leading up to that point, they have been seeing issues. Nothing you want to tell them. Nothing you want to tell me. Amen. But where they have seen a consistent, responsible, submissive, spiritual life that has been a conviction to them. Are you understanding? When a false prophet comes, it becomes very, very, very easy. Even if they are swayed. Are you understanding me? Even if they are swayed by that word. The weakness of your conversation alone. Sometimes, I just need to keep quiet for my mom to know that I don't agree with this one. Are you understanding? I'm not arguing with you. You say what you said, I'll just smile. Are you understanding? But in your heart, compassion is welling up both for your mommy and for the prophet. Because, you know, it's the case of the blind leading what? The blind. And now, here is where wisdom comes in, like he said. There are some matters that are non-existent. Prophet said we should fast. Because you have revelation, you say you can get bori. Is fast injurious to your spiritual life? Fast the fast now. Fast the fast that you'll be praying Ephesians chapter 1 prayers. That the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened. La prashadaba. You'll be growing. But for you, there's just one rebellious spirit that anything they say, you must just say the opposite. You must just say the opposite to just prove that they didn't say it after light. You see, fasting is actually not a demand in the New Testament. It is after the bridegroom is taken away that will not be. Now we are seeing, you are just contentious. There are certain positions, as long as it's not injurious to the prosperity of your faith, you wait. Ah, one can wash or buy. Even though you don't like the style of the clothes, you don't like it. Buy the clothes, wear it. They say we should go to this place. Unless that place you are going to is totally alien, do you understand it? It's contrary to faith. Then, wisdom builds you to stand your ground. Mommy, you know I've always obeyed you in everything. But in this matter, I beg to differ. Even if she said, Mommy, you know I love you.
You just hug her.
Mommy, you know I love you. Many of us lack wisdom. We lack wisdom. Mommy, you know I love you. I know it is from the best. I can see your heart. You love, you don't want me to. But look into my eyes, Mommy. I won't disappoint you. Jesus that I serve won't disappoint you. But trust me on this one. Let me go this way. What you are praying to God concerning me, you will see, and you will see more than it. But I trust you, this is not the way. A little wisdom, you will pacify her fear. What that prophet is using is fear to hold her in bondage. What you are fearing is, what you are fighting is her fears. You have warred with her fears. You have broken her fears with love. She has strength to disobey the false prophets now. He said, don't come back. If she goes, she will say, no, leave my daughter out of it. I will fast the fast on her behalf. You will win a soul. Are you understanding? But remember what we said. The root of all of that is conversation. You have been leading conversations. That is a witness. You have been, the way you have been, you are responsible in the house. You are spiritual. When others are abusing, you are not joining them to abuse. When others are declining responsibility, you are not declining. You are taking, even though it's painful, they've seen, they've observed those. Parents see all of those things. And it weaves into what decisions they make concerning your life. Are you understanding? So, it's not difficult. And God, like he said, under no circumstance are you expected to dishonor your parents. Under no circumstance. But you need a lot of wisdom. A lot of what? A lot of wisdom. Recently, there was a situation I was playing out with one of the brethren, and the parents were taking a position that was not convenient. And rationally, I would have advised just put your feet on the ground and everything. At the end of the day, what broke the whole situation? Just go and just beg. Just lie down. Just prostrate. And at the end of the day, the thing that was looking like we didn't want everything just changed. The same people that were here. We need a lot of wisdom, spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. Sometimes what you are not fighting with your parents, you just fight with the thing that is fighting them. That's you are operating from a position of enlightenment. Because really, our parents are not our enemies. No, they are not. If you have let your he said to him that others his conversation aright. Complete that scriptures? To him that I've forgotten it. It's flee off my head now. But what I'm saying is this: we need a lot of wisdom. You don't need to wisdom here, not to shift the grounds of faith and not to break the hedge. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Wisdom not to shift the ground in faith and wisdom not to break the hedge. The Lord will help us. I hope the question has been answered. God bless you mightily. Thank you. Okay. Can we appreciate them very well? Hope they bless us. Amen. 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 It's been a wonderful review. Today's day, the five of the review. And how many of us have enjoyed the review so far? I mean, being able to relate with the essence of the teachings that is being brought to us and fetch life, interpret life from it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Teenagers, say amen. Amen. Don't worry, all of you will marry well. I say all of you will marry well in your time. Don't be concerning yourself about the issue of marriage now. Go and forget about God. God has taken care of your future. Just be concerned about pleasing the Lord. Have you heard? Have you heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Concern yourself. Concern yourself so much about as if it is tomorrow that people will be caught up to heaven. Do you understand it? Yes. That's how you should serve the Lord. That's how you should respond to the Lord. That's how you should keep commandments. Amen. You will profit more in faith like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we appreciate all the teenagers? They've been here since Friday morning. Feasting. Friday morning. God bless you. It's been an awesome time. The retreat was awesome. Can we also appreciate all the teenagers' teachers? All the teens' teachers. Especially the ones that cook their food. I know you love those food. Hi. God, say, God bless you. Say, God bless you. Hi. Did you enjoy the food? Amen. Can we appreciate? I want to say appreciate. God will bless everybody that supported that project. Yes. Everybody that I wanted to appreciate, but appreciation is not is little. You have invested in heaven's business. You are partner with the Lord. You'll never lose your reward. I know that lives are changed already. And I encourage you. I think the things that were said there is not only for teenagers, right? No. Every one of us. Some of us that have not been able to get our bearing right in the faith, when we lead, they are so basic, so directional. Amen. So profitable. We will be able to gain direction. It's just so relatable. It's just so related. So I admonish every one of us to get all of the things, materials, and listen to them. Listen to them. Give them to your younger ones. Give them to your siblings. Give them to your friends. Let them listen. Let them learn. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Don't worry. I'm not preaching after preaching. I'm not saying anything concerning the review. The review has been done and the review has been done perfectly. Can we appreciate the panelists again? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to say something, but okay, let me just say this. The point, because I'm saying is so that it will be applicable in all contexts. We are not saying our elderly people should come to the house and start washing plates. Do you understand it? Or as I start? No, that's not. The context in which the question was asked is how do we receive and honor prophets? Then the passage Appy quoted, if you receive me, you receive he that sent me. And if you receive he that sent me, you receive my Father also. Amen. Then now said, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives. So it's about majorly discernment. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's about discernment. Now, when he was trying to build flesh around it, he now talked about money, service, and every other thing. Are you understanding? But the core thing is discernment. I think Pastor Moses also emphasize that it's about first and foremost the discernment of that who do you see this person as? That will determine what you are able to get from the person. Amen. Now, in relation to everything that's been spoken, two key things stand out. Obedience and then the quest to please or satisfy. Now, in discerning the person of a vessel, I'm saying this because we have different age grades. And I want something that cuts across different age grades. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In discerning the, because these are also lessons I also am learning in relation to our parents. Are you understanding it? In relation to discerning, there is the first part of obedience, which is doing what you have been asked to do. Are you understanding? Which is sometimes explicit, instructional. But beyond that, there is the desire to please or satisfy them, knowing that the person I am actually satisfying is the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, that verse, can you give me that verse 40 of that passage? It said, he that receives me, receives him that sent me, and he that, amen. Or you can put the 40 and 41 together. Sorry, it's not as if I was lying. I say I won't touch it, but I'm constrained in my spirit. Thank you. He that receiveth me, receiveth me. Then he that receiveth me, receiveth what? So it's like a line. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. Then he that receiveth me, receiveth he that sent me. So it's about receiving. Then that's he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. So I must receive this person in the capacity in which God has sent him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If I don't receive him in the capacity in which God has sent him, the blessing will not flow to me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So my carefulness is I don't want to receive him less than the capacity in which God has sent him. And so I'm searching in my heart, Lord, how do I discern? How do I receive this grace in the cap? You know, God sends people, like Pastor Tobias said, God can send a person yesterday, then he has sent him again today, and you have not discerned the new capacity he's standing in. So, if it's about coming to the house and washing, I can just come and be doing the same washing I've been doing because I feel it. But my heart has not eaved up in honor. Are you understanding? My heart have not what? Eaved up in honor. I've not changed in the way I am receiving. I will not receive the full blessing. I can still be blessed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because I am receiving it like somebody, but I am not receiving him in the full capacity of what God is sending him as to be able to receive the full blessing. Are you getting me? So the goal is, I want to receive all the blessing. How do I receive? So you even receive by revelation. Are you understanding? You need God to show you how this verse. Like I said, it's also some things that the Lord is teaching me, because it's every one of us. We have people that has been sent to us. according to a different level. You have our fellowship pastor. You have unit head. You have your pastor. Your pastor has a pastor. And pastor has a pastor. You understand? So every one of us has. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the question is, how do I receive this person so that all of the blessing of the Spirit that has been sent through them will get to me? Sometimes the Spirit can just caution you in the way you even address them. So sometimes even in the picking up of their phone, they are calling you. Do you understand? The heart posture. Are you understanding? Now, really thing I'm saying so is, if you just think it's about washing plate and clothes, you can be stuck in something and you will not receive anything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the question is a fresh revelation. Sometimes you have to, like I was saying, you have to discern when they have sent the person they have sent to you before, when they have sent him again. Gabriel came to Daniel how many times? Twice. He said, the man whom he has seen before was caused to fly again. Now, so they will send him with something different. And if you don't discern the capacity which is coming, you will think, Bros G. Anna, are you understand? But you will not be able to receive that ministration. So what I'm saying is about discernment, reverence. Sometimes obedience comes as in express instructions. Do you understand it? But I would also do injustice to say this, that some fail-safe principle that he has said, they are consistent. Like giving, like those ones are always consistent. It shows the posture of the heart. Amen. You see it with everything. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see it with everything, service, all of those things. But those things also can become stereotype. They can become stereotype. You just feel that. Someone just feel that. Because I'm in pastor, I'm washing his clothes. I'm the one that washes the car every morning. Thank God I've been receiving. You might not have been receiving anything. You might not have received anything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, it's first about what? Discernment. Of the person and the capacity in which God has sent them. Then inquiry. How does God want me to relate with this grace? To be able to receive all. Sometimes God can just move you that, I brought you here to cover the shame and nakedness. So you'll be privy to certain things that God will just give you wisdom to manage. To manage in honor. Are you understanding? God will just deal with your heart in a particular way. And that is I receiving. Something that some, are you understanding what I'm saying? God will just deal with you. We will be wise in Jesus' name. Hope you understand what I'm saying. So that we can all be blessed. Amen. It looked like a sober. I was asking Pastor, hope I'm not a sadist. Because just finished talking, everybody will just be laughing. Just encourage me. Even if it's eating you, just laugh small. Let me encourage me. I'm not a joy stealer. Laugh small, encourage me small. Your face used to... Okay, I'm Jeremiah. Look not on their faces now. I will not look at your faces again. Amen. Are you blessed?
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church. Or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.